There was some dork named Hal who thought the Phibbies were his pal. So he went ahead and made a deal to sit. But he threatened judges three, a jury slapped old Hal's pee-pee. So Hal's gonna be my dick swigger bitch. Dog will fuck you up. Yes, dog will fuck you up. If you don't obey the dirty Jew's commands, dog will fuck you up. Yes, dog will fuck you up. So you best be a rebellin' while you can. Long ago, a rat named Glenn ran his comrades over and again. But Zog gave him a bag full of Zog Buck. A little Guido loves diggling fox, stitches, tickles, and cocksuck. The colostomy bag's name is VNN. Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. If you don't obey the dirty Jew's command, Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. So you best be a rebellin' while you can. I used to know a boss named Visser, a Duke Miss Goober and Lil Pisser, who was going ass to mouth with Lion Ride. A mum, that nigger and East Molester, a Pisser, Pisser, Possum, Chester. Not a single one of them was very bright. Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. If you don't obey the dirty Jew's commands, Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. So you best be a rebellin' while you can.
Greetings, Zogling, Wigger, and Manzer-ass clowns across the fruited, nutted Zog plain. In the open air, coast-to-coast nut house that we call Zog Babylon, the third and the final. But this message is mainly aimed to the lost and found sheep of the house of Israel. You chose the seed of Israel's race. Ye who did hear the call. And thus are the remnant, who are to be not only called by Jesus Christ, but to be saved from this great tribulation, which is the only hope for the white race. Greetings. Now, this is episode number 95 of the Movement Turd, and it's titled Mamzerology and Mamzer Studies. And the date when most of the chat occurred was on the 6th November 2011, Sunday night. And anyway, this show will be around, not quite 4 hours or so. It'll be a little bit shorter, but it'll still be one of the, one of the average or longer ones. Anyway, in this episode of Movement Turd, I had Trash Can Man 72 and Motor Montgomery call in for 40 minutes and an hour and a half, respectively. There was quite a chat. It seems that the Nimbusters have found out that where the show is at on TalkStew, and as a result, you end up having a Nimbuster Tard come in. He went in and spammed the crap out of it, as you can go in and see on the chat afterwards. But in any case, I'm not going to go ahead and officially, make a big deal about the actual link, although a lot of people know about it, because I believe that by now, Brian Rio and Eli James and the rest of the Mamzers and Jews will pretty well figure out it's probably best not to go ahead and create any more need or use for me to go ahead and sue the worthless bastards. But anyway, like I explained to Mona Montgomery, is that you've had Peter Duncan pretty much ever since, Adam and Eve got taken out of the, before they got taken out of the Garden of Eden. You had old Eve going ahead and doing some, allowing some Peter Duncan from old Satan. And you had Adam going ahead and doing some Peter Duncan with Satan's daughter Lilith. And we end up talking about how it doesn't matter how harsh the laws are against it, like in ancient India, when the Aryans went ahead and moved in, their caste system was called Varna, which meant color. And essentially, it was the Aryan way to where you had these people in their ox carts come out of Persia or Iran, which was short for Aryan, which meant the noble ones, And so they had a bunch of thunder gods and war gods and sun gods and all this sort of thing. And they went ahead and beat the crap out of these dark Dravidians. And as a result, they ended up race mixing. And now, pretty well, India is very much racially mixed. You end up having time after time after time invaders coming out of the north and beating these niggerized inhabitants. And in the case of Buddha, by the time that 600 BC or so came around, Buddha probably had a good deal of nigger in him. So, in any case, Buddhism didn't really last in India because, first of all, it was against the Brahmins because he went ahead and said that their caste system was no longer needed or necessary in order to go ahead and achieve enlightenment or nirvana. So you see, unlike the West, where Christianity believes that you are born, well, essentially once, and you have to go ahead and make it or not to eternal life, the Indians believe that you are cursed with eternal life, and you have to go through, in some cases, 84,000 minimum, reincarnations, all the way from maggot on up. And I went ahead and explained to Mona, and she didn't really understand it. But then again, Mona is sort of interested only in herself. And so we didn't talk too much about Edgar Steele, but we had a fairly pleasant conversation. I had Trash Can Man go ahead and talk a little bit. And Trash Can Man is one of the few self-aware Mamsers. He's far more aware of himself than most Wiggers are. Most Wiggers are just, they have as much self-knowledge and self-enlightenment as the length of their dick, if that long. As long as their memory, I mean, that's short. And they don't have any good sense. And Trash Can Man is one of the few people who I've seen who has gone ahead and learned something from himself. But, folks, you've got to understand is that, well, there is a reason that Yahweh went ahead and said in Deuteronomy 23:2 that a man was not to enter the congregation of the house of Israel forever. And what we end up having now in this bowel movement of ours, we end up having Mamsers like Jeremy Visser and, Jeremy Visser, Anglo Caesar Truett. What's another Mamser here? And then you end up having a bunch of Jews like Eli James, Dan Johns, Bill Fink. And so their followers are just mainly Mamsers. Mamsers and Jews. Wall-to-wall Mamsers and Jews. Pretend to be something that they're not. Oh, so sanctimonious. And there's just simply no changing them. So anyway, we'll have about a 4-hour show. This was pretty well a call-in show. I didn't really figure out the name of the title until I went ahead and made it today. And what is today? Today is about the 14th or 15th. And so it's been about 10 days, so I'm trying to go ahead and catch up on the show. So, folks, why do you have this problem with Jews and Mamsers getting among us? And the answer of what is because we have a Wigger problem. Wiggers keep on going ahead and allowing these critters in. It's my Mamser, it's my Jew, it's a good Jew, it's a good Mamser, it can't be a Jew, it bought me lunch, or whatever silly shit there is going on. So what this was mainly just a call-in show to where I just pretty well conversed with, Trash Can Man, although I'm not a very good interviewer, and I conversed more with Mona Montgomery. I was trying to teach her something, and I doubt she learned anything. So the chat was sort of interesting. One of the Nimbusters spammed and spammed and spammed and pretty well ruined it for everybody else because I had to go ahead and shut down the chat. But in any case, I hope you go ahead and enjoy the show. I'm trying to go ahead and catch up with them. But anyway, we'll go ahead and play the theme song for this series of shows on the Movement Turd, which is Wigger Problem. So folks, I hope you go ahead and enjoy the show. It's not really a particularly good one or a particularly bad one. It's just pretty well a so-so one. In any case, hope you enjoy it. Hail victory.
Yes, I am.
We got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Build a drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating crop. I wake up and right away, stupid wiggers come to mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Fill the top up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating crop. Wiggers keep remembering how good Zog used to be. Being caught long stone, afraid of memory. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, the wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Fill the drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating drop. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating drop.
Greetings, Zogling, Wigger, and Mamzerass clowns across the fruited, nutted Zog Plain, in the open air, coast-to-coast nut house we call Zog Babylon, the third and the final. And also to the pitiful, lost and found sheep of the house of Israel, you chosen seed of Israel's race, ye who did hear the call, the ones to whom I'm really speaking to and who's addressing for, well, for my programming anyway. Welcome to episode number 95 of the Movement Turd. And tonight is the 6th of November, 2011. Yesterday was Guy Fawkes Day. Tonight's Sunday. It's a few minutes after, well, it's about 17 minutes after 8 o'clock Central Time. Moved the clocks back an hour, so essentially dark came around 6 o'clock. Here in southwest Missouri. So I guess they saved some daylight savings or whatever they did. In any case, on this episode, I really don't have much of anything, you know, new to say other than the sense of the movement is just something, nothing more than Zogbots, Tards, Mamzers, and the rest of them who play their own little game. I go ahead and I see that Mona Montgomery is in there. We've already had a little Femnishevik against, white male debate. And, folks, usually the Christian identity view of women is that women are property. That's about what it boils down to. When all it comes down to it, it's not really, you know, if you end up living with a woman, you end up having some sort of respect for her, because if you don't, Why, well, unless you're one of the real rich men who just simply have a harem of females or something like that. And folks, non-whites really don't have any respect for women because women are essentially their beasts of burden. A nigger is nothing more than a dick, you know, a walking, breathing support for a nigger dick or a nigger cock. And essentially, as far as red niggers are concerned, essentially they went ahead and had women always act like just simply nothing more than to go ahead and give birth to the babies and to do all the heavy agricultural work. I remember 20 years ago, I went back to college. I was thinking of becoming a lawyer, so I was going ahead and taking a number of graduate courses to look good if I decided to go ahead and go to, quote, law school. I went ahead and took an LSAT, graduated about 52, which was a little bit slightly higher than normal, but not outstanding, because essentially I didn't grasp the little problems, the little test-taking problems that essentially they're good at. And essentially, that's what lawyers have done. They've gone ahead and just made any wannabe lawyers who get a monopoly license of steel into nothing more than little dogs who can go ahead and jump through a hoop. But that's exactly what a nigger is here. In any case, alright, I'm going ahead and look a little bit at the chat. But in any case, non-whites do view women, you know, their women as nothing more than property. I mean, this one, my roommate at Gulman, he was a pervert who was there for having sex with a six-year-old girl. And like I tell people, they don't like hearing it, is that you have Whigger trash and Anglo Mestizo trash that essentially for several generations have gone ahead and sold their children, you know, for blackmail money or something like that. And essentially, from what I gather, he said he was the third out of four who went ahead and had sex with that six-year-old or five-year-old girl. And essentially, he was a liberal Whigger. And he got all annoyed when I simply said is that in a Israelite household, the man was the absolute head of the household, and that the woman was supposed to go ahead and listen and obey him, and it's already been determined by Genesis, I think 3, verse 14 or so, before you go ahead and get down on Satan and the spawn of Satan, that essentially the woman was to be dominated or have dominion over a man. Now, as far as the abortion thing is concerned, I don't believe that non-whites should be allowed to breed in this country, so I wouldn't have a problem with non-white abortions. As far as essentially, you know, women, whether or not they, quote, have rights, I mean, Mona will probably go ahead and disagree a great deal with me. But what I found out about, women like Mona and, you know, all the other time here, like my big, fat, stupid stepdaughter, essentially, they don't want to be married to a man who will essentially dominate them. They want a meerkat. And sooner or later, the meerkat gets tired of the goona-goona and runs off or dies on them or does whatever in order to go ahead and get away from this dominating woman. At the very end result, they have these notions and they're going to end up being alone in many cases. Now, my sister, a couple years ago when I was still talking to her, she's just like my brother. She's just a thief who likes stealing from family. And last time I talked to her, I think it was in 2007 when I was in Nut House, talked to her for a good half hour, and she was saying about how she didn't believe I was guilty of child molestation and all that, and what a great patriot I was, trying to save people's rights or something like that. And no, Whiggers, I shit for your rights. I mean, you know, folks, it was up to me. Most of you don't have brains enough to go ahead and rule yourself. And if it was up to me, you know, you'd just pretty well be under, essentially, a racial religion like dual seed line Christian identity run by warlords under, you know, pretty well theocratic rule. But essentially, the dual feed like Chris Identity has gone ahead, and it's turned to shit. It's just wall-to-wall Mamsers and Jews like Eli James and William Fink. And by the way, Mo, I did notice that you were over on Finkelschinis. And I did see where you were, you know, wondering why I like Felix Dzerzhinsky. Now, contrary to Brian Reels and this, you know, that Mamser Brian Reel and another, you know, all these other Mamsers, Felix Dzerzhinsky wasn't a Jew. Of course, he wasn't altogether a white man either. He was, Lithuanian, Ukrainian, Polish nobility, and essentially what they did is that they imported some Uhlans for their cavalry to act as their cavalry weapon because they were very good. They imported some Cossacks, essentially, and that's what the Dzerzhinsky family was a bunch of these Cossacks. They had a little bit of Tartar on them. You know, just like a lot of the Slav here, they've got a great ag mixture of non-white blood. That's why I used to go ahead and talk to some of Finkelschini's Tards saying, well, why are you so down on Polacks and the rest here? Well, it's a German thing. My Prussian ancestors used to say is that Asia began on the east bank of the Oder, although the joke was on them because they lived in a small village eight miles inside, on the other side of the Oder, and they were not crazy about Polacks or any of the other bunch, even though they're probably the best of the Slavs. But they're a chaotic people, even though they're white, but they got a good admixture of Tartar and Mongolian. But, folks, what the white race needs, it needs a big purging, because most people running around, are, you know, 90% of so-called whites are just nothing more than worthless wiggers. And if you go ahead and then look at the rest of them, I mean, last night I was fighting with Morris Gillette. He's gone ahead and brought in Anglo Mestizo Truett. And here it was on the South African project. And they had this character, you know, they had this woman, Monica Stone. And she, what she looks like is she's brown as can be here. She sort of looks like a rather tall Filipino bar girl, to be honest with you. I mean, she might be what the Africans call colored. C-O-L-O-U-R-E-D. For essentially these Dutch here who have a little bit of a tar brush in them. But what's Morris Gillette's solution? The answer is the solution is to go ahead and find a whole bunch of Anglo-Mestizo retards and wiggers who want to go ahead and play Aryan Nation and run around in uniform and pretend to be Christian Identity. And what they're going to do is supposedly they're going to march in the state capitals. Okay. How's that going to go ahead? I mean, let's say you go even in my state of Jefferson City. How is what Anglo Mestizo Truett does, is he runs around his little Aryan Nations uniform, running around as a felonious Mamser, bitching about what's happening in South Africa. How is essentially Jay Nixon, how is the Republican Assembly, even if they wanted to go ahead and help these female South Africans, South African whites, how are they going to go ahead and do that? How much leverage do they have on the South African nigger government? The answer is none. Essentially, it's just nothing more than a Zogbot plot to go ahead and get retards identified as so-called Aryan Nations members. And folks, something that goes, I mean, I went ahead and William B. went ahead and posted a picture up and pretty well came up with three of them which looked like nigger beaners. And then the third was Cousin Ray Mariani. Now, actually, that was Jeremy Parker from what I gather. But, folks, you go ahead and look at the new Aryan Nations of Morris Gillette, 16 or 17 of them. Somebody took the picture. And that shows how many people there are. And then you have Billy Roper and David Pringle, who are white. But, folks, why? What in the world is all this movement bullshit going to accomplish? And the answer is nothing. It's going to accomplish absolutely nothing. Folks, there is no saving Zog. There is, it's going to have problems defining white. That's why, in many cases, I rely upon the Great Tribulation. Now, will Yahweh, is Yahweh going to go ahead and exterminate every person which is not altogether pure white? And the answer is, I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, I had to laugh last night, Saturday night. I was going ahead and listening to Finkelschini, and Finkelschini was yapping about how nobody who's not white can go ahead and have a part in the congregation of Israel. Well, hey, Finkelschini, less than 2.5 months ago, you had Brian Rail, and this character is nowhere near white. In fact, you were on the show. So if you really believe that shit, what the hell were you doing with Brian Rail for all these, past couple of years? What were you doing? Answer, Finkelschini is just a lying mamzer. Now, getting back to Iron Felix Dzerzhinsky, just like, as in today, what you have is that you have a, essentially the essence of Zog. Well, just like around the First World War, you had an idiotically corrupt and degenerate monarchy which was originally Swedish in origin, and which had gone ahead and become mongrelized, and by this time was just absolutely corrupt and fossilized, believing that it was still the 8th or 9th century, and that as boyars they were above any law, they were above any responsibility to go ahead and keep what was to be a modernizing society up to it. And as a result, they lost hundreds and thousands, millions of men, not only in Crimea, but also during the First World War. And essentially the Germans were able to go ahead and use their interior lines and use their railroads to go ahead and slaughter millions and millions and millions of their peasant army. And as a result of their stupidity and their incompetence, you end up having not one revolution, but two revolutions. And most of the Tsar had gone ahead and been put on notice that his horseshit was no longer going to be tolerated. On this, early day in 1905, where essentially the Cossacks went ahead, Cossacks pig lice went ahead and killed women and children in a crowd, and then the crowd went mad and started hunting down the Tsar's pigs. The first sign that the Tsar was losing it was in 1905, and he was a weak man, an extremely weak man, just like Louis XVI was a weak, stupid man. Just like Charles I was a stupid man who ended up, being deemed weak. So what you have is you have the conditions for revolution. Two of them here. The main one is an inability to change, an inability to accomplish anything. Not being able to go ahead and make the necessary changes the society is prey to. And that's exactly what we have in this, Tsar Nicholas II wasn't able to go ahead and make the necessary changes. Old Nigger the First, Omongo Nigger the First, Georgie the Second, Dumbia, he went ahead and got involved in a number of wars, which essentially just were nothing but wasteful. And now we get to the part where, hey, Jews have gone ahead under the Federal Reserve and they've stolen everything not red hot or nailed down. In any case, Mona is the ISIS and the imbusters. Anyway, getting on with it, this regime is not able to go ahead and do anything right or intelligent. And what you have is that you have essentially the selection a year off. And if the selection was held, if it was a case of the nigger, the Republicans' new nigger, who essentially is just a nigger, and the Democrats' nigger, the Republicans' nigger would go ahead and win, even though he's a total tard, a total idiot. I think the Republicans' nigger would win. But I do think at the very end, I mean, I cannot believe that the Republicans would be so freaking stupid as to go ahead and get a nigger as their primary candidate. On the other hand, Romney's a piece of shit, too. He's just a corporate ass clown who went ahead and did the Obamacare. He doesn't give a shit for whites. And I already pointed out in my lawsuit that essentially the Republican Party doesn't believe the white people have a right to go ahead and run for political office or do anything. So what you have is that you have the two things which go ahead and start a revolution. One is an inability to go ahead and make the necessary change peacefully. In fact, the change has been for the worse to where whites are just nothing more than wage and tax slaves. And what you have is you have fewer and fewer and fewer whites bearing a burden of more and more and more mud in the line. So where they're talking about what? By the time the whites become a minority, you're talking about having 450 million Mamzers in this country. And what you have is you have a federal judiciary which is saying that essentially the states can't go ahead and run out the Mexicans. Now folks, if they really wanted to go ahead and use Mexican labor and use it cheap, what they should do, essentially, is to simply go ahead and set it out to where, guess what? You can, if you want. You can go ahead and import them, but essentially these Mexicans are to be imported for what? 3 months? Maybe 6 months? Brought in. Segregated by sex. They're not here to screw. They're not here to bring their children. They're not here to bring their bambinos. They're not here to be anchor babies. And essentially what you do is that you run them as a guest worker program, and essentially whoever goes ahead and hires them is responsible. And therefore they're not allowed to go ahead and get cars. They're not allowed to get driver's licenses. They're not allowed to do anything other than essentially what they're brought in here for. And at the end, they go ahead and essentially they are paid the full amount that they are due, and their taxes are taken out, and essentially at the very end of it, they are sent back to where the hell they came from. That is exactly the way things should go ahead and run if you're going to go ahead and run it. And there's not going to be any private riches. No, going ahead and making a fortune off of being a labor and then, making the general population use it. I remember back when I was hauling chicken, for a chicken hauler back in 1993, 1994, 1991 to 1995, I was hauling off and on for this chicken hauler out of Springdale called Chickendale. Had a whole bunch of beaners in there. Tyson's Chickens is headquartered in Springdale, Arkansas, also known as Chickendale. And then you had another, their competitor, Simmons. Essentially, you had these big, you had Cargill for the turkeys, Butterball turkeys. I don't know if any of you heard that here. You have a plant, you used to have a plant called the Butterball Turkey Factory, and that was for Cargill. You have all these big food companies, and they bring these beaners in. And, folks, I was hearing the white security guard at one of these places, and pretty well 90% of them were beaners. They're factory workers, but the white guy was there, and he was bitching that his taxes for water. Because, folks, when you end up having a water plant, New Hampshire used to make sure that they had a Tyson's guy on the city council to go ahead and make sure that the city council wasn't going to have the idea that, guess what, Tyson's ought to go ahead and pay to clean up the water pipes, which were clogged with chicken fat. So, essentially, they always had the representative from Tyson's Foods on their city council, essentially to make the overall taxpayer pay for the use of the infrastructure and not pay for, to make sure that Tyson didn't have to go ahead and do the cleaning up necessary for all the chicken fat that was lodged sort of like plaque in the arteries in the water, sewer water drain pipes. That's exactly what the heck, they used to do here. And folks, he was bitching about how the prices, property taxes went up for schools, how the property taxes were up for the water. And I said, you do understand is that Tyson Foods is going ahead and making all this money off all this Mexican labor, and essentially they're making you pay. They're making you pay for it. Is what exactly what the hell they're doing. Exactly what the hell they're doing. And he said, well, I didn't think of that. Well, hey. And that's pretty well what's going on. It's essentially in America, and they were, tonight at 60 Minutes, they were bitching and pissing and moaning about how old Jack Abramson or whatever his name was, who went ahead and hired or bought off all these Republican Congress critters. Why, essentially, he went to prison. Well, folks, I think a few Congress critters went to prison, too. But not enough. Roy Blunt should have gone to prison a long time ago. Now he's the United States Senator. And, folks, he didn't have to face me in the primary. Folks, what we have in this country is that we have a Zog Babylon. We have a bunch of thieving Whiggers and Manzers run by Jews. And essentially, the Jews are going ahead and sucking off all, essentially, very off the top, everything that they want. And in many cases, they essentially are just simply destroying this country. They're sucking it down and bringing it down just like every parasite does. And a Jew is a perfect parasite. A Jew doesn't produce anything that anybody would want. Okay? So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and take a break. I think I've been going on for, I don't know how many minutes. Well, 23 minutes. So I'll go ahead and go for a few. But what I think I'll do is I think I'll go ahead and take a break and read the chat and essentially invite a few people, Mona, to go ahead and call in, or anybody else to go ahead and call in. And in the break, I'll go ahead and give my phone number, even though Brian Rio knows it. It looks like we got a person that I've seen over on Nimbusters. Saturday night, I went ahead and called in to Nimbusters. And pretty well the question was about my lawsuit. So I'll go ahead and I'll probably go ahead and reiterate that lawsuit or drop it in. So folks, we're going to go ahead and take a short break. And we'll be back in less than 5 minutes. Hail victory, folks.
Our flag is proudly floating on the land and on the main. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Beneath it oft we've conquered and will conquer oft again. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Our Dixie forever, she's never had a loss. Down with the eagle and up with the cross. We will rally around, the bonnie flag will rally once again. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Our gallant boys have marched to the rolling of the drums. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. And the leaders in charge cry out, come boys, come. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Our Dixie forever, she's never had a loss. Down with the eagle and up with the cross. We will rally around, the bonnie flag will rally once again. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. They have laid down their lives on the bloody battlefield. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Their motto is resistance to the tyrants, never yield. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Our Dixie forever, she's never at a loss. Down with the eagle and up with the cross. We will rally round, the bonnie flag will rally once again. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom.
Alright, folks, this will be the second segment of the Movement Turd. It's 8:51 or so. Anyway, I invited Mona to go ahead and call in first here. Hopefully you're going ahead and using that card number I gave you, correct?
Right.
Alright, speak up a little bit louder if you would, Trash, okay?
Okay.
Okay. So anyway, I don't really have anything to say. I mean, the biggest thing in the movement is Linda is trying to get retards to use their real names on BNNF. And I got a question. How will Linda know whether or not you're using your real name?
I don't guess he will unless one of his old butts told him.
Well, I think he is running a data mining operation, of course, and probably they will tell him. But if he goes ahead and says, well, that ain't your real name, number, IP number 66.666.666.666, that ain't your real IP number. You're really John Q. Wigger of Milledgeville, Georgia here, instead of Rabbi Kike Weaselbaum of New Jersey here. You went ahead and you lied to me. And how's Linda going to go ahead and admit that? How's Linda going to go ahead and find out unless he's being told by Zog? In which case, why does he need to know if he's getting this information? Why does he need to go ahead and know what their real first name was? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. But it's something to go ahead and laugh about, and essentially it goes ahead and puts people on their guard. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I haven't gone around to cutting off your CDs, but I should have done it a while back ago, is that I went ahead and put together number 93 of 23rd October. I have the thing. It's ready to upload. I'm not going to upload it just yet. I might go ahead and upload it during a break, or I might not. I'm running behind on the Movement Turds. But any case, I was going to invite Mona to go ahead and give a call, but I'm glad you went ahead and gave a call. Anyway, so what's on your mind, anyway?
I don't know what. Did you get the email I sent you this last night?
Oh, shoot. Let me see. Let me go ahead and see if I got the email that you sent last night. It might have been an email that you sent. Was it the one where they had new songs or something?
Yeah.
Okay, I got that email. Okay? I did get that email. So, let me see. Going ahead and reloading. And folks, if you want to get my attention, I usually look at PastorLinstead@gmail.com. The reason I look at it is to go ahead and see if Brian Reel is bitching and pissing and moaning and wanting to pull up a DMCA complaint. But, right now what I'm looking is I got to where I can go ahead and get, see what the Washington Post via email wants to send here. And that's why I found that old Mickey Rooney croaked off a couple of days ago. Pretty well, what they're trying to do is they're trying to get these Greeks, these worthless, brown people. And I was in Athens, and essentially, there's not very many blue-eyed blondes running around in Athens or Crete or anything like that, unless they're German tourists or something like that. I did see sort of a fat old German and his wife, and they had bought some expensive luggage And essentially, from what I gather, some drunk had gotten back at the railway station and barfed all over their expensive luggage and got some of my, you know, got a little bit of barf splash on some of mine. And, but all I, you know, my luggage was a Army duffel bag. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I had the waterproof bag on the inside, so essentially, what the heck here. But this guy was bitching, and this German tourist was bitching and bitching and bitching, and they looked to me, here's the other white guy, and what do I think of it? I said, das ist nicht Griechenland here. It means this is, you know, ist nicht Deutschland here, ist Griechenland. And they call it Griechenland, G-R-E-E-I-E-F-F-C-N-L-A-N-D or something like that, I forget. When I was stationed over there, you know, they used to have these little tourist things to where you would be able to go ahead and fly over to America, New York, you know, Greeceland, whatever here. And they used to have these little travel things here. And essentially what they do is for $110, I took an 8-day trip to Barcelona, to the Lloret del Mar, the Spanish Riviera. And I seen, they were saying about a month ago on Four Fags Thebes, they were talking a month or so ago on Four Fags Thebes about, how they discontinued the last bullfight in Barcelona. Well, the reason they discontinued the bullfights in Barcelona is because, you have these people, and they're called the Catalans or something like that, and they really want to go ahead and be sort of free of the Spanish. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So, someone went ahead and was talking about how somebody went ahead and wrote a letter to Matt Hale. Chances are, you know, if you're a prisoner or you're in jail or something like that, even in jail, like Edgar Steele or the rest of them, essentially this piece of shit went ahead and said, I'm not going to allow you to have any racist letters. I said, why? You know, what difference does it make? You might go ahead and, you know, let some non-white, you know, you had a bunch of beaners and, you know, and nigger or two. You might let them sit. So why would I do that? Well, I said, besides, I'm locked up all together, all by myself. You have decided to go ahead and call me a child molester. And therefore, essentially, I'm all together, all by myself. Now, later on, about 3 years later, essentially, you know, I was initially the only one being charged with something like that, but what happens is this country has gone ahead and decided to, essentially, it's a whole lot easier to send people to jail for child molestation than it is for running drugs or something like that here. And when I was there, you'd have 21 people who were accused of child molestation. You know what I mean? And, somebody was asking me, about a year ago, this one guy who had been convicted of child molestation got loose and he killed a 14-year-old white girl. And they were asking, well, how could he get out to do that? Well, the answer is that you have 700, you had, 750,000, quote, convicted sex offenders. You know, and better than half of them were out of prison. And what's going on is that the Supreme Court last year, the year before, went ahead and ruled that even if the person has served a sentence, you can go ahead and civilly commit him, without any further trial or anything like that. That's what our wonderful Supreme Court ruled. But on the other hand, you can't go ahead and punish him as if he's a prisoner. So as a result, a lot of these state budgets are being broke because, well, essentially, if you're going to go ahead and civilly commit somebody, well, you can't go ahead and can't treat them like a criminal or anything like that. You're just simply keeping them in, detention. Well, that ends up costing sort of like, what the nut house costs here. I mean, it costs what, $50,000 to house a nut? $40,000 to $50,000 to, house a prisoner for a year in a prison? Well, it costs, if you're going to go ahead and call him a nut or a civil detainee or something like that, it'll cost a minimum of $150,000, which is what they wanted to go ahead and charge me, you know, a minimum of what? Oh, $4,000 a month? To where it was $75,000 for 6 months? Well, how much is that? Ah, shit, I forget what. $150,000, and some of them as high as $250,000 for some of these nuts up there. And what they did in 2010 is that the state of Missouri has had budget problems for the past 3 years. And 2010, they weren't able to go ahead and build a $77 million new place for the civil detainee chomos or whatever. And so what they did is they went ahead and turned half of it into a civil detainee place here, something like that. Now, you know, how did I get to that? And the answer is that essentially this government does whatever the hell it wants to do. It always has. And what I've noticed during the last couple months is that you end up having Gillette, you end up having Anglo-Mestizo Truitt, you end up having Visser, essentially making about how righteous they are, because I'm a convicted child molester. And I was going ahead and looking at this thing that Visser went ahead and put up on Topeka in Granby, and it was from Brooks, Georgia. And essentially, here's Visser, you know, the evil piece of shit, going ahead and saying that here I was being arrested for the third sexual crime and how I'm facing life imprisonment forever and ever and ever, and essentially it was altogether a lie. You know what I mean? And Visser sort of thinks he can go ahead and do that shit and there's not going to be any consequence for it here. He can go ahead and be a little shit-colored mamzer, and when he wants to go ahead and lay low, well, he can do so, but he's able to go ahead and come back, even though he's already admitted he's a mamzer. He believes he can do that without consequence. And for now, he's absolutely correct. He is absolutely correct. But on the other hand, you know, when you end up having a civil war or something like that, to where, you know, I mean, people go ahead and say, well, it's so awful, you're talking about a great tribulation. And it's simply talking about how you have to have, well, millions and millions and millions of people die in this war. You know, billions of people die in this war. And the answer is that right now, if you're white and you're against Zog, you already have the equivalent of a great tribulation now. Don't you? Because essentially they're doing whatever the hell they want to you, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Edgar Steele is going ahead and finding out that, you know, and Bill White, he was talking about how he was froze and starved and tortured, you know, during his federal, you know, imprisonment, and how this, you know, you remember way back when you had this crazy beaner, that Ashcroft named Jose Padilla, who was another retard, who essentially what they did is they kept him in a brig and kept him without rights or anything to read, and essentially the man, what little marbles he got was lost here, so eventually he went ahead and pled guilty. You know, I don't know if you remember that. He was supposed to have gone ahead and gone to Pakistan to learn how to make a dirty bomb.
Yeah, I think I remember.
Well, I mean, all these people, they sort of think, just like a pig thinks, that there's going to be, you know, essentially forgiveness and love and understanding and all that for regime criminals. See, a pig sort of thinks he can go ahead and do whatever the hell he wants to, but when it's his turn, that we're going to go ahead and forgive and forget. And I don't see that happen, do you?
No.
No. Well, you know, someone was going ahead and saying this Judge Windmill is just nothing more than a step and fetcher for Tracy Whelan. The answer is correct. That's absolutely correct. So how do you cure that? And people go ahead and they get mad when I say, well, what you do is you start skinning out on their children. You go ahead, you take their children, and essentially start skinning them out. Or, you know, putting them in a cage full of niggers. I mean, they love doing that to, you know, essentially they love doing that to white people. They love threatening white people with it. I believe that there should be absolutely no mercy for regime criminals, and if essentially you're a Whigger who's supporting a regime criminal, you need to die too. And that's why, you know, that's why the only salvation for the white race is this great tribulation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not running around and having little talk show shows to where Adolf Hitler is the Archangel Michael or Jesus Christ and talk about, oh, how you're so racially pure when, what, less than 3 months ago, you were appearing on this Mamzer's, you know, talk show, you know, dealing about the joys and the wonderful, you know, wonderfulness of, you know, of Uyghurs here. I was looking over on BNNF. Here's this piece of shit lawyer named Paul Fromm. Paul Fromm talks about how he's against, you know, censorship in Canada. He's against this or he's against that. And essentially, that little cocksucker got me kicked off. And, well, he got me kicked off 3 days after 3 days after Christmas on December 28th. He went up to Canada and he had me, you know, had my webpage taken down. And, you know, folks, I don't know if Mona's ever noticed, but, you know, you have Eli James. Last night, I was looking at Eli James, and Eli James has lost the CIG wars between him and Finkelschini. Finkelschini goes ahead and he censors every guest they can go ahead and have, and as a result, he has hardly any guests, but he has plenty of the, what I call the wandering mamzers of, you know, Wikipedia talk show Christian Identity. So as a result, now Fink has easily twice as many people as what Eli James does. And then of those of Eli James's listening hood, about half of them are guests here. And essentially, here's old Steve Schultz, Steve whatever. And folks, I'm probably going to go ahead and find out old, you know, I think I'm going to go ahead and find out old Steve's name, because Covington went ahead and sent a message for people who want to go ahead and have flags to go ahead and contact Steve at edelweiss@yahoo.com. Well, okay, I'll go ahead and have one of my little sock puppets contact old Steve and say, well, hey, you know, how do I go ahead and get a flag here? Who do I send a check to? And essentially, old Steve will want to go ahead and have his name on there. And sooner or later, I think there's going to be a lot of people who's going to go ahead and find out, oh, who Steve Elder is. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
Dumbass. But essentially, you know, here are these people. They're delusional. They're retarded. They sort of think, you know, I mean, you know, all these, you know, the Tsar's police thought they were above. They were above everything. And essentially, they were called pharaohs. And when Iron Felix went ahead and rounded up and tortured them, you know, and a lot of times what he would do is after he tortured them and they got a confession, he would go ahead and just shove them, in irons, you know, naked into the crowd, and the crowd would tear them apart. And then he'd go ahead and send their families to a death camp. And from what I gather, none of the average Russian workers or peasants minded these people being put to death. I hear stories about how they were rather grateful that this crooked judge who had gone ahead and given this guy a hard time. You know, he was a soft-handed Gentile. Later, the Bolsheviks took care of him. But at the time, he loved what the Bolsheviks were doing to the ancient regime. So I sort of think is that essentially pigs, pigs, you're going to go ahead, you're going to find that what comes around goes around. Have you heard about this Occupy Wall Street, to where Carl Denger is making a big deal about how they end up having a political change? And from what I gather, it's a political change not on the right, like the Tea Party supposedly was, but rather a political change on the left here. And essentially, what would be funny is that just as the Republicans whine like pussies about how the Tea Party has taken over their party, you got to wonder what's going to happen if Occupy Wall Street decides that they want to go ahead and have their, you know, have, you know, take over the Democrat Party. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, I don't think there's really too much different right now. I mean, if you look at the leadership and everything, I mean, most of the white people have just pretty much left the Democratic Party anyway. They're giving up on it by now.
Well, essentially my white party, you're talking about Jews, you're talking about unions, You know, you're talking about Pollocks who live in Chicago, you know, who are the remainders of the unions. But essentially, if you're talking about whites here, you know, for example, right now, you know, they have this show called Pan Am, and you have this, you know, beautiful blue-eyed blonde going ahead, and essentially she is wanting to be in love, and she's wanting a mud shark with a nigger, you know what I mean, in 1963. You know what I mean? And here you have, you know, here you have, I think it's going to be the end of that particular show, because people want to go ahead and look back when this country amounted to something, when this country was, well, you know, physically and, you know, physically strong and essentially at the top of its form, and now they're going ahead and showing something which had a lot to do with the destruction here of essentially allowing a nigger to go ahead and run around with blonde, blue-eyed, wannabe mud sharks. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
And essentially, I think this show is pretty well, you know, it was just nothing more than an exercise in nostalgia. Essentially, Pan Am only was able to go ahead and exist when the government gave this guy named Juan Trip. They went ahead and essentially gave him a monopoly on essentially, you know, overseas flights. You know what I mean? And once they went ahead and opened up the competition, essentially, well, you know, pretty well, the price of tickets, the price of flying went down big time. And essentially, here they are talking about nostalgia or something like that, and I don't know. It don't seem to make too much sense. I'm looking at an idiot commercial here where you have some bull or something flying through here. But anyway, so what do you want to talk about? I've been pretty well just yakking. All I'm getting is a yes or no. Russ, you know, Russ, he's gone somewhere. He might be gone for a while, so I'm not going to say where old Russ is. But anyway, what's on your mind, Trash?
I just thought I might mention the fact I went and saw that movie In Time last week, and talked about it a little bit in the email. It seems to be one of these movies where the Jews kind of drop a dime on themselves a little bit.
What was the name of the movie?
In Time.
In Time. I-N-T-I-M-E?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's the movie about?
Well, it's about that. First movie was set, like, I guess, about maybe 10 or 15 years in the future, and supposedly they're using time as currency. Everybody has these clocks on their right forearms that tells everything from years down to milliseconds. And so what it is you got these rich people are kind of like the Illuminati. They've got, you know, trying to hoard all the time to themselves, and regular people just, you know, just have to scrounge for what little they can get. But what happens is the guy who's like the hero in the movie, he kidnapped this guy, you named Wise, of all things. It's pretty interesting that they admitted that much. He's one of the big, they call them time sellers. So,
okay.
You know, people in the ghetto and everything, like pawnbroker type deal. But he goes ahead and kidnaps this Jew's daughter and tries to hold her for ransom, and she ends up kind of falling in love with him, doing like a Betty Hirsch type thing, and he ends up sort of doing a body and quiet around the country, robbing banks and, you know, giving time away to the poor people and all. But I thought it was interesting that they had the clocks that was on everybody's right forearm, kind of like the mark of the beast type thing, like they were just kind of trying to prepare people for that subliminally.
Well, the closest thing I've seen is that in 1957, the year I was born, you had, it's called quantum physics, and essentially, they don't know how to go ahead and define it or anything like that, but what it says is that there's not only just one universe, there's many multiverses, there's many parallel worlds, so there's a parallel world in which, well, Pastor Linstead got, you know, illegally convicted for child molestation, and then there's one where Pastor Linstead essentially goes ahead and skins out every fucking Jew and nigger, you know, sends them all back to Africa, and You know, essentially, he's a big warlord there. I mean, there's many multiverses. And then, Michael Crichton, who is my favorite, you know, author here, and he died a couple of years ago. And, any case, I'll probably go ahead and look at his paperback in a little bit. You know, I went ahead and read his books here. He got a lot of people pissed off at him in his 2004 book called State of Fear, to where essentially he said global warming was a bunch of bullshit. Essentially, you have this media, you know, he called this politician, lawyers, media complex, to where they go ahead and try to lie to people and scare them to do what they want here. And the biggest scare was, well, before you end up having Osama bin Laden and Muslims, the biggest scare was, oh, the greenhouse effect. And, you know, before 1989, when Berlin Wall came down, the big scare was the communists. And, before that was the Nazis here. Why, they had people, you know, scared that the Luftwaffe was going to go ahead and bomb Detroit. Well, folks, what happened to Detroit wasn't the Luftwaffe, it was niggers. You know what I mean? Detroit looks like, well, hell, it looks like the Luftwaffe, hell, Detroit in some cases looks more shitty than the old address it did after the war. What you have is all these people just going ahead and living in fear and being scared and essentially running wild. And I'm looking at this thing Pan Am, to where this stupid beautiful twat here is just sucking up to this high yeller nigger. And, I think the show's going to go downhill from here because, hey, she's a mud shark. Or she's a wannabe mud shark. But getting, where was I? Is that pretty well, so this was a, how much does a movie ticket cost? Where you went to anyway?
Well, what I try to do is I get the matinee, and then I don't want to cost $5 for the actual movie ticket. I try to get a large tub of popcorn, a large drink, so with all that, it comes to about $15, but not too bad.
Okay. Well, we used to have what I called dollar and a quarter theater, to where essentially on Tuesday nights used to be that it cost $1 to get in. Now, what happens, it was usually a show which was, well, the next stop is going to go to video cassette. Now it goes to DVD. But essentially, when they'd gone through all the big $6 and $7 a seat shows here, the $5 matinee or whatever, it would go just before it go to just before it's already been sold to VHS, video cassettes here. Well, before it went to video cassette, it would be essentially at the dollar and a quarter show. And Joplin used to have a bunch of them. And don't anymore, but nowadays, you talk about Netflix and all this, $8 a month. Well, shoot, I can go up to Raimi's and essentially for $1 and have 2 days of it on Mondays and Wednesdays. I can go up to Raimi's and essentially check out a movie and essentially, if I want to go ahead and load up a copy, program to one of my many computers, I can go ahead and, have a free copy. But the thing about it is that I don't really go ahead and look at very many shows anymore. The other day I went ahead and downloaded 1960s El Cid, and that was a pretty good show, so I watched it on YouTube. But any case, so essentially that show was about, these Jews going ahead and getting a monopoly and pretty well screwing over white people, right?
Yeah, thinking they could be immortal and let them just leave everybody else to die.
So in short,
in character.
Well, see, the thing about it is that Michael Crichton, when I got to Michael Crichton, his timeline, which came out in 1999 or 2000, and it later became a movie, it went ahead and said, no, we're not actually time traveling. What we're doing is we're going ahead and sending you to an alternative, you know, parallel universe is what we're doing. We're inserting you into this parallel universe. And what they end up doing is that this guy was a total asshole and total dick, and every time you go ahead and go, you know, essentially, you know, what you would do is it wouldn't really be you. It would be a data stream of ones and zeros, and what they would have is that if you went through there, every time you went through there, you know, what happens, there would be a time lapse or what they would call a splice, and sometimes it wouldn't go ahead and come in as good as it should. And if you went through too many of them, you'd be maimed or, you know, I mean, hurt or something like that here. So one of the villains had been sent in so many times before that he was an asshole to begin with, but when he got done, he was a totally psychotic asshole. And I don't know if you've seen Michael Crichton's timeline or not, the movie or the book.
No.
Well, it's been around for about a decade. The movie's been around for about a decade, and probably you can probably see it on YouTube or something like that here. But essentially, what it was is that it cost quite a bit to go ahead and send these people in, and essentially, due to a screw up, they are stranded in the year 1347 or 1348, 1349. And you know what happened in 1347,
1348, 1349,
don't you?
Maybe Black Plague or something like that?
The Black Plague. So essentially they send this asshole, they go ahead, one guy goes ahead and he decides that essentially he wants to live in 1300, and what happens, he becomes a nobleman. He becomes a nobleman because he's a fairly good fighter. And pretty well the rest of them, they just go ahead and they manage to make it out. And essentially they had a pretty interesting time here. But I don't know. It just seems like it's rather far-fetched here. You do understand in this country, you know, there's debate as to whether or not we went to the moon. Do you believe we went to the moon?
I don't know. I hear different things. There's this guy who's got a website named John Lee based out of Knoxville. I don't know if you've ever heard of him or not, but
no.
He supposedly had a lot of links on that. Supposedly that the knowledgeable people said that it just wasn't physically possible, that the rocket would have burnt up in the Van Allen belt and all this kind of stuff. So I don't know. I'm kind of persuadable either way. But I mean, when you consider that supposedly just a bunch of 33rd degree Masons involved and all, you have to be a little bit skeptical.
Well, the answer is that you don't know. You really don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But what gets me is that even with the so-called technology, I don't believe that we would be capable of actually going to the moon again, much less to Mars like Bushy wanted, you know, a couple of years ago. You know, I remember when I was locked up in Nut House, he had this big thing, we're going to go to Mars before the end of the decade. Really? Well, Obongo has gone ahead, and essentially there's no more space program because essentially we can't afford space travel and niggers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And pretty soon we won't be able to afford anything, and essentially we will only be able to afford niggers, is about what it boils down to. And
anyway, we can't combine the two, put all the niggers in space.
No, I mean, shoot, I prefer to send all the niggers to Africa. Or, if we could go ahead and do it peacefully, I'd just as soon go ahead and put them in, well, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, and let them fight over what's, you know, with Florida, with the Cuban niggers. But in any case, that's not going to go ahead and happen. Throughout white nationalism, what gets me is even the so-called Aryan Nation factions, essentially, what Morris Gillette and what, you know, Paul Mullett and all these other characters, essentially what they're reduced to doing is running around whining like pussies for the Jews and, you know, the Jews and the rest to go ahead and save the white race somehow. And I don't see the Jews and I don't see the Whiggers and I don't see the Mamzers essentially working together to save the white race. Do you? I don't see them going ahead and giving us our own little state or our own little, you know, Puerto Rico or anything like that. I do believe that Harold Covington is correct in that Zog is essentially falling apart more and more and more and more. What amuses me is that the Republicans are talking about ending entitlements in order to go ahead and, you know, they're whining about this super delegate. They're talking about these super delegates, essentially the super delegates, and they're at a standstill. And if they don't go ahead and get cleared off, they're going to have to clear $600 billion or half of the, you know, Defense Department's budget.
Yeah.
And what happens, you hear the Republicans whining about, oh, how we need, I guess, to have this war in Iraq. We need to continue paying for this war in Afghanistan. We need to go ahead and pay for, well, essentially this thing for Libya. Essentially the whole idea is to somehow go ahead and get special forces in Uganda, of all places. Now, what are we going to do in Uganda that's so all fired important here? I mean, it's not anything intelligent like, hey, niggers, we'll ship you to Uganda. I mean, there's nothing. What in the world is there in Uganda here that the white taxpayer absolutely has to have?
I don't know. I wish they found some oil there. Or something.
Well, look, we would have, all this oil. If people really wanted to go ahead and do it, what they could do is that they could, like, say, in Illinois. You know, I was talking a while back ago about how when I was in the nut house, they were talking about building a brand new coal-fired electrical plant, and they weren't going to use low-sulfur coal from Wyoming. They were going to go ahead and use all this coal that's in central Illinois. You know, there's a good-sized town called Carbondale in Illinois. The reason it's called Carbondale is that essentially they used to have a coal mine there. Now what they're going to do is they're going to go ahead and strip off the wonderful prairie topsoil off the top and put it off to the side somewhere and essentially strip mine the coal. Not mine it, strip mine the coal. You know, that's how they're going to mine it. And essentially what they're going to do is they're going to go ahead and build a big old plant so they didn't have to go ahead and transfer it in railroad cars all the way from Wyoming. They're just simply going to go ahead and send it a couple miles over to this place in Taylorville or something like that. And essentially, they were going to go ahead and scrub the coal out. And then when they got done mining this coal, what they would do, instead of putting in big old, you did hear, this was in Tennessee, I think, that they had about a year or so ago, they had a big old ash slurry thing, which went ahead and got out of its thing and was heading toward Nashville or something like that in Tennessee?
Yeah, that was at the Kingston Steam Plant. It's about 12 miles from here, actually.
Okay, so that wasn't very far from you then, was it?
No.
Okay, we don't need to say around where it was, but essentially, so you did hear about that. And I've asked people, why don't they just simply put a big old plastic liner in, put a big old plastic liner, and when they go ahead and take the coal out, just put it back into the freaking ground, right?
Yeah.
Put a big old liner in it, and Carl Denninger, he thinks that you ought to go ahead and, take some of this coal ash and take the thorium and essentially have a sort of nuclear power plant as well. And since, in places like Illinois or Tennessee where you have plenty of rainfall, what you do is that you go ahead and you also grow algae, for biodiesel. And essentially, if we want to, we can turn coal into diesel, we can turn into gasoline. We have 500 years at current rates to go ahead and use that. But, folks, when you consider the price of oil, the defense or something for big oil and for big Jews, essentially when you come down to it, oil is actually $200 a barrel. It's actually costing more like $10 a gallon when you go ahead and you count in all the troops and the rest that we've got to go ahead and maintain. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And essentially, if you ended up being able to go ahead and make your own fuel for $2 or $3 a gallon, here in this country, don't you think that the price of imported oil would go ahead and drop because essentially these people wouldn't be able to go ahead and sell it for more?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the answer is that's quite true. I remember, I don't know if you ever heard of J. Paul Getty, who was an oilman.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what he did is that these people used to piss and moan at him because essentially he was undercutting the price of Texas oil. He was undercutting the price of Texas oil by going ahead and importing oil from Saudi Arabia, and they were bitching that here he was doing this or here he was doing that. They were bitching at him for importing this cheap foreign oil from Texas. Okay? Well, folks, I think old J. Paul Getty actually had some sense here. Why go ahead and use all our reserves when you go ahead and, export from overseas? But on the other hand, if it's going to go ahead and cost hundreds, if it's going to go ahead and cost so much in defense or something like that, wouldn't it just be better to go ahead and, create our own uses? But the thing about it is that the big Jews and the rest aren't going to allow that to happen, are they?
No.
No.
How Israel gets the fat, they get a fat of all that we get from Saudi Arabia, those customs that they had treaties with, but part of the treaty, I think, was they get a little bit of cut of the oil profits.
Okay. Anyway, let's see. I've talked for 40 minutes. Let me just go ahead and save, and we'll come back in a few minutes.
Well, the people held their breath.
So, all right, we're back for the, oh, I'm not sure if it's the third or fourth section. It's 9:30 here in southwest Missouri. Are you in the eastern time zone of Tennessee?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's 10:30 your time. A few people, they're in Mountain Time or they're in Mountain Time or they're in Pacific Time. So, you know, in Pacific Time, it's only 7:30. So, anyway, I think you being in Eastern Time, but on the other hand, you have a tendency to stay up, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so essentially you went to see a movie to where essentially Jews were screwing the white man and screwing the poor people and screwing everybody, and essentially, before I did the thing about Omar Gaddafi, I decided to just go ahead and download this song about Jesse James here. You know, it's a rather famous ballad which had been around for, over 100 years, about Jesse had a wife who mourned all her life, the children, they are brave, for a dirty little coward shot Mr. Howard and laid Jesse James in his grave. And, you know, pretty well I've used, you know, Germany's quote Jesse James, you know, Florian Geyer, you know, as the end song for all my programs now. But essentially you were going ahead and, you know, looking at that here. So anyway, there ain't really much going on in the movement. Was there anything else you wanted to cover anyway?
I'd also mentioned in the email about John Todd, just kind of wondered if you knew anything about him, you know, more than just what I said, or, you know, if the past had ever crossed or anything like
John that. John Todd, I'm trying to think. I don't know the name doesn't really, ring a bell. There was a George Todd who was one of Quantrell's raiders. And from what I gather, he was a rather hard case. He went ahead and backed old Quantrell, into a corner and pretty well took over his fighting force or something like that here. I mean, from what I gather, he was a bigger asshole than bloody Bill Anderson. But this is somebody else, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so who is Mike Todd here? Why don't you go ahead and explain that?
Well, it's John Todd, but yeah, he was a guy I read about him in Fritz Springer's book, The Bloodlines of the Illuminati. Have you heard of that? Any chance?
I've heard of the Illuminati. Supposedly they're the illuminated ones who are with essentially from Adam Weishaupt or something like that in July 4th, 1776 or something like that. He was going to go ahead and set up a conspiracy to where of the illuminated ones, i.e., well, you end up coming up with, I think I've talked to Mona about it, about Lucifer. Supposedly the Jews in their Talmud sort of agree with the dual seed line version, to where they do agree that Lucifer, that Lucifer is their daddy. And essentially Lucifer was the archangel which went ahead and rebelled against Yahweh because he didn't like the fact that I'm going to be replaced by these mortal beings that you're going to make out of mud. I don't think that's right. And essentially Lucifer was, he was Satan, the name Satan. Satan means adversary. Essentially, Satan is the adversary of Yahweh and of Jesus Christ. Now, in the Muslim belief, they only believe there's one God, Allah, and, essentially Jesus Christ is just nothing more than a great teacher or a great prophet, and essentially they view us as being, polytheistic because we end up having two gods, both Jesus Christ and Yahweh. I learned that from the niggers who were at the Nut House, the so-called black Muslims or something like that here. But in case, so what about Mr. Todd anyway?
Well, he was supposedly, he's from a more older Illuminati family. I guess it's like a Scottish name, if he supposedly Scottish.
Scottish Rite?
Yeah.
But Albert Pike and all that good stuff?
Right, yeah. But anyhow, it's from the Todd family, the same family that Mary Todd Lincoln, her family was from, that same Todd family. But anyway, yeah, his mom was probably a Hollywood actress back in the 30s named Thelma Todd. Her nickname was Hot Toddy. I guess she was quite a slut back in the day. But supposedly, yeah, he was, fairly high-ranking, that generational Satanist, but he supposedly converted to, became a Baptist minister back in, the late 70s.
Okay, is he still alive? Is he still around?
Well, that's what's the weird thing about it. Nobody seems to really know. There's two different stories that are sort of circulating about it. But anyway, what he supposedly did was he became a Baptist minister in the late 70s. He went around to, doing the sort of evangelical circuit and talking about how he'd supposedly been involved in all these satanic rituals, putting curses and backward messages on rock albums and all this kind of shit. And supposedly he had this theory that Ayn Rand's book Out with Shred was supposedly like a secret Illuminati program that was going to be implemented later on and things like that. There were several YouTube videos that I found a few years back of his sermon set to a number of appropriate just sort of still picture images and things like that.
Okay. Well, somebody said, I'm looking at the chat, John Todd went back to Wicca, witchcraft, in prison. So maybe he's in prison. And he also became a transvestite.
Oh, God.
So I don't know. This guy seems to know.
Gender bender.
Well, like Oba Gender Bender. Oh, by the way, Oba Gender Bender was yapping about how I'm a freaking idiot because I say that Crohn's is, just nothing more than Jew ass gays here and how white people get here. Well, what happens, though, is that I'd already gone ahead and looked where old Linda had Crohn's, and here's Oba Gender Bender talking about how coconut oil, 3 tablespoons of coconut oil, will go ahead and clear poor old Linda out here. So I went ahead and sort of changed Oba Gender Bender's little thing to where 3 tablespoons, a teaspoon at a time, flick through a transgendered, a transgendered mamzer's tongue here on the bunghole, and go ahead and cure Crohn's here. I'll be happy to cure you, Linda. Essentially, I made fun of that, but here's old Gender Bender essentially trying to tell Linda that he needs to use coconut oil on his, on his diseased bunghole. So, Oba Gender Bender, when you do listen to this here, this is a shout out for Oba Gender Bender here. Oh, by the way, I'm looking at it looks like the real William B is on, and I'm going to go ahead and ask him to, later call in at the house phone. I'll go ahead and send him the calling card because, the reason for that is because, when he did call in for about an hour, it took me about 5 to go ahead and boost it on the cell phone here. But I might go ahead and be able to, I might go ahead and put the speakerphone, put the cell phone on speakerphone, and that might go ahead and cure it here. But anyway, I don't know anything about, Mike Todd, to be honest with you. From what I gather, this character isn't actually in the quote bowel movement. And today, it's sort of iffy. I mean, there's not really much of anything going on other than the same old stupid shit here. It's just the same old stupid crap again and again and again and again. I mean, I was sort of trolling, Eli James, and I was trolling Anglo Macizo Truett, and I was trolling Morris Gillette. And essentially Morris Gillette, I believe, is a total snitch, and he claims now that essentially I got him in trouble with the assistant attorney general soon after I went in and called. And I remember when Gillette got in trouble, all the so-called friends here, all so-called friends were just sitting scared shitless to go ahead and, essentially, I went ahead and took this press release, and I actually called this, Gillespie, and the guy was a total, odious little weasel, just like all these, you know, federal prosecuting attorneys are, or prostituting attorneys are. But the worthless bastard went ahead and essentially told me around, you know, that he was either, you know, in one, you know, county jail or the other. Well, I went ahead and found out that no, he wasn't in the county jail. He was in the West Monroe City Jail, him and Thornton here. And actually, I went ahead and arranged for a letter writing campaign because I sort of thought this Scott Charles Thornton would maybe go ahead and turn on Gillette if he wasn't taken care of. And, well, I mean, I went, got sent to Nut House, and I found out that Gillette had essentially, he'd gone ahead and given it to this Joe Johnson. This Joe Johnson was a mad little tyrant, and Gillette went ahead and kicked me out of his church without any sin here. But he did go ahead and make me a minister in May. So essentially his lie now is just simply nothing more than a lie. But then again, that's all it was here. I mean, I believe that Gillette Gillette was never anything other than just a drunken crackhead who was kicked out. And essentially, that's all he ever was. And now I think he's a snitch. And he ends up having another criminal, you know, another man's a criminal. And essentially, being around in this bowel movement of ours, I found out, pretty well, the hard way is that most of these idiots are just simply nothing more than just lying idiots. That's all they are. That's all they'll ever be. And what you end up having is you end up having a bunch of Mamzers in your Aryan Brotherhood, and essentially they're just nothing more than criminals. And they get a prison ministry thing from Lorraine Swift, and just like Brian Wright, he made a big deal about how he was a big friend of Lorraine Swift, and then what does he do? He gets mad because Visser kicks him off for the third or fourth time because he's stalking Pastor John Britton, and essentially he calls Lorraine Swift, calls her husband Wesley Swift a Mamzer, and her children by Wesley Swift a bunch of Mamzers too. And here's Jeremy Visser and Brian Wright, and they can't seem to understand how it's sort of stupid to go ahead and claim that you are a minister through Pastor Butler from Wesley Swift on one hand, and yet being called Butler and Swift a bunch of Mamzers. You know what I mean? Yeah, it don't make any sense. I mean, Visser, you've essentially, because you're a chicken shit lying Mamzer criminal, you've gone ahead and sawed the branch upon which you sit here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they can't seem to understand. Well, you know, I mean, Lindsay expected me to go ahead and support Wesley Swift and Richard Butler. And the answer of it is, if you claim to be Christian identity, well, you ought to be going ahead and associating with somebody who's lying about them. You know what I mean? Calling them a bunch of Mamzers. And essentially, around July 5th, when I went ahead and seen that, and here he was calling Visser a Mamzer, and knowing criminals and being, you know, locked up with them, I began to think that Visser probably was a Mamzer too here, just like Billy Wood / Brian Wright said. And what Visser has done is that every so often he goes ahead and he deletes entire forums, he deletes web pages, he goes ahead and takes them in, he takes them out here, and here he is trying to go ahead and deny his own brother here, who is, you know, last December, well, this time last year he was hiding out here. He'd taken down his forum, he'd taken down everything, and the reason why there was, he wanted there not to be anything left even on Google Cache. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, you have all these characters. Well, someone said John Todd was a real deal, but he wasn't completely honest. Oh, by the way, this Elam Stoltz has asked me to explain John 844. I did explain it over on, essentially, John 844, when Jesus Christ says there are their father, the devil, and that he is, the father of lies and the murderer. Essentially, he was talking to these Edomite Pharisees who had previously, about two verses earlier, said, well, we are Abraham's children and never were we enslaved. And the answer is that was true. You know, Jesus Christ didn't say, no, you're not Abraham's children. Well, he went ahead and said, you're actually the children of the devil. It wasn't because they were bad. It was because they were the little children of the devil. But they were also Abraham's children or grandchildren through Isaac. Esau was Abraham's grandson. And essentially, he didn't turn out very well. He went ahead and married two Canaanite women. And his third wife was Ishmael's daughter. So essentially, Esau's children, in many cases, if they were from Ishmael's daughter, essentially they were the Edomites that were allowed after three generations to breed back into the house of Israel. Okay? So, anyway, William B. went ahead and left here. Anyway, was there anything else you want to discuss?
I don't know.
Well, I was looking at the chat. This reminds me of the type of character that Steve Buscemi always plays, an incompetent con artist. And that's exactly what he is here. I mean, essentially, folks, Visser, by going ahead and taking down his forums, has screwed these people who went ahead and trusted him. Pretty well destroyed their intellectual property here. And so anyone who's with Visser, like Obagender Bender, there's this other guy. He calls himself Solomon. Sometimes he calls himself Son of Light, which essentially is the same as you might as well call yourself a Jew, because Son of Light means Son of Lucifer, and that's what Jews claim to be. You know what I mean? The ones who do know themselves. See, the secret of Masonry is that supposedly, IOOF here. When I was a kid, I used to wonder what the heck is an IOOF? IOOF. And what it boiled down to is International Order of the Odd Fellows. Well, what they do is that essentially, the Shriners. Essentially, what it is open to all these, wigger goofs to go ahead and play. But as far as Scottish Rite Masonry, essentially what they do is that they sort of go ahead and conceal it, and then when you reach 33rd degree Mason and above, you're told the big secret. And the big secret is that essentially what you are is you're of the Knights Templar, and essentially what you do is that you are working to restore Solomon's Temple and pretty well restore the Jews, these wonderful people, to essentially their predominance over in Jerusalem. And essentially what they're taught is that, their big secret is that they worship Lucifer, they worship Satan. I mean, that's the big secret that's reached at, level 33. You know what I mean? And just like the Talmud, you're not supposed to be reading Masonic stuff here, unless you're an actual Mason. You know what I mean? I had old Biker Bob here, and Biker Bob was into the Masonry shit here. He'd have underlined, Albert Pike's stuff here, and he also had Swedenborg as well, and that's one heck of a mix. Swedenborg, and Albert Pike. But in any case here, well, Visser, of course Visser doesn't practice what he preaches. None of these characters do. So anyway, I'm going to. I guess I'm going to go ahead and let you go. And, heck, I should have gone ahead and checked. Swordman's in the house. Hell if I know. Eom Stolfus, essentially we know you're a Nimbuster. And, looking at it, I think I have more people than was attending Eli James's Saturday night show here. So anyway, I guess the word is sort of getting out. This is a sort of discreet show. Please, folks, if you want to go ahead and bring in anything, go ahead and send an email to PastorLinstead@gmail.com and sort of explain who you are. I don't really want, unlike Linda, I don't want to know your name. Essentially, I want you to go ahead and just say, hey, I'm not Brian Rio. I'm not Eli James. And folks, I don't mind people trolling, essentially making fun of me or whatever. I mean, I'm not, You know, there's nobody here. I don't have another number of these tards here who, Eli, block the gas, ban the gate. Yeah, well, he's a phony, he's a lying Jew. But, essentially, folks, this is free speech. But, in any case, pretty well the only law, the only rule I have is don't spam the thing and, ruin it for others. Don't ruin the chat, and essentially, you can say whatever the heck you want, and if I think you're a funny tard, why, I'll laugh at you. But, no, I don't, there's just, that's what strikes me, is that all these people, and it's always been the case here, and this is how I always go ahead and deal with these people. Ever since you've had these people, they come in, they immediately take over, they immediately kick out all the genuine Israelites. And then what I end up doing is that essentially now that they're on the inside, they've gone ahead and taken over, I go ahead and treat them like they're forwarded up in the ghetto, and now I'm the one who's going after them. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
It would have probably been a whole lot easier for them people just to go ahead and let me have my talk show and essentially have them come on as tards and spam the crap out of me and call me Pope Marty Chomo, Marty Chomo, Marty Chomo. Rather than essentially let me have, essentially I'll be on the internet anyway, and essentially now you're revealed as a liar, a hypocrite, I mean, folks, if you don't really stand for, that's what gets me, is that who do these people think they are to go ahead and tell somebody that they can't have their own show, because it's hateful or it's racist here, at the same time pretend to be white supremacists like Brian Rio does. I mean, folks, you're a liar. You're a phony. Essentially what you are is just a Zogbot, Mamzer, a Jew, or Wigger trying to go ahead and tell other people what they can say or what they can think. And to someone like myself who does know he's right, it doesn't matter what you think. That's why I don't mind talking to Mona Montgomery, because as far as I'm concerned, Mona Montgomery is wrong. And we'll just go ahead and leave it at that. So anyway, anything else, Trash Can Man?
No, I don't get
it. Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and let you go. And we'll go ahead and wait for Mona to call in, and I'll go ahead and check and see if William B. is in. And we'll see if we can't go ahead and accommodate William B. and, Mona Montgomery, because essentially this night is just, it's pretty well what Thursday night should be, but it's become sort of a call-in because essentially there's nothing going on in the bowel movement, really, other than the same old stupid shit, which is pretty well the standard case regardless here. Oh, by the way, are you still on, let me see. You remember Poker Face? Old Brian Real went ahead and managed to go ahead and censor them or scare them off over on Poker Face here. I think they got after some of your posts, didn't they?
What now?
Well, Brian Real was saying that essentially he had to go ahead and get on Poker Face, to go ahead and deal with all the lies here by some of my partisans over there. Here. I remember, him saying on one of the shows he had to go ahead and do that here.
I don't know. I haven't been on Poker Face in several months, so I wouldn't really know.
Well, maybe, maybe you can go ahead and see if it's Brian Real free now or not here. Essentially, he's, little bastard's still alive because Russ poked him with a sharp stick, at the beginning of the month here. So, anyway, I'm going to go ahead and let you go and, talk to you later and hail victory, okay?
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. Anyway, let me go ahead and stop. And, we'll go ahead and go to the next section. It looks like the stupid blonde chick is kissing the nigger. Good Lord. Well, if you end up having too much of that, you're essentially going to end up with a lighter shit-colored nigger. They'll still be as ugly. By the way, we were talking about how to go ahead and breed a Beyonce nigger. And how you breed a Beyonce nigger is that, essentially a nigger buck on a on a wigger slut will go ahead and just breed a lighter colored, shit colored nigger. It'll still look like a nigger. But in order to go ahead and breed a Beyonce nigress, you have to have a stupid wigger go ahead and screw in a light colored nigress. You know what I mean? In order to go ahead and breed a, you know, a light colored Beyonce nigger. You know what I mean? You go ahead and breed a rather cute, you know, Aaronized, you know, octoroon or whatever the hell they call them. So anyway, so I look at this here. So if a nigger goes ahead and gets some wigger pussy, essentially she might 9 months later squeeze out a niglet. And folks, I don't think Juan Tripp would have allowed that shit to happen back in 1963 or whenever the hell it was. Okay? Anyway, we'll go ahead and go to the next segment. I'll go ahead and hail victory, folks. And I'll wait for old Mona Montgomery to go ahead and call. Hail victory.
They had passwords that only the initiated understood, and signals which meant everything or nothing. A night bird was a messenger, a day bird a courier. They knew the names or the numbers of the pursuing regiments from the shoes of their horses, and told the nationality of troops by the manner in which twigs were broken along the line of march. They could see in the night like other beasts of prey, and hunted most when it was darkest. No matter for a road, so only there was a trail, and no matter for a trail, so only there was a direction. When there was no wind, and when the clouds hid the sun or the stars, they traveled by the moss on the trees. In the daytime, they looked for this moss with their eyes, and in the nighttime, with their hands. Living much in fastnesses, they were rarely surprised, while solitude developed and made more acute every instinct of self-preservation. By degrees, a caste began to be established, free to come and go, bound by no enlistment and dependent upon no bounty, hunted by one nation and apologized for by the other, merciful rarely and merciless often, loving liberty in a blind, idolatrous fashion, half reality, half superstition, holding no crime so bad as that of cowardice. Courteous to women amid all the wild license of pillage and slaughter, steadfast as faith to comradeship or friend, too serious for boastfulness, and too near the unknown to deceive themselves with vanity. Starved today and feasted tomorrow, victorious in this combat or decimated in that, receiving no quarter and giving none. Astonishing pursuers by the swiftness of a retreat, or shocking humanity by the completeness of a massacre. A sable fringe on the blood-red garments of civil war, or a perpetual cutthroat in ambush in the midst of contending Christians. Is it any wonder that in time the guerrilla organization came to have captains and leaders and discipline and a language and fastnesses and hiding places and a terrible banner unknown to the winds?
I love the gorilla man. that wears a ruffled shirt, that wears a ruffled shirt, rather have a gorilla mat that wears a ruffled shirt. I'll bundle up my clothes, my true love by my side, and I'll roam this country over and be a gorilla bride, be a gorilla bride, roam this country over and be a gorilla bride. With his pockets lined with silver, a pistol in each hand, a long life and full success in the roving gorilla man, in the roving gorilla man, long life and full success in the roving gorilla man.
I couldn't hear it. So the problem of it is that if he calls, if he goes in and calls the cell phone, I can barely hear it. Okay?
Okay.
You know, that's why I wanted to give him the the phone number here. Now what happens, you have this ass clown, number 21, and essentially what he's done is he's essentially taken over the chat room.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And essentially what I did is I just went ahead and blocked all the participants. Because, well, hey, I can't go ahead and get anything done. I mean, essentially, he went ahead and did the no-no. So now I have to go ahead and block. I have to go ahead and block the chat room. And that's just pretty well. When you come down to it, someone who goes ahead and pulls that shit, essentially, he's going ahead and censoring it for other people. Because
right.
he's making it. He's making it impossible for other people to go ahead and use, the chat room. So anyway, when it comes down to it, someone like that here has no more morals than, say, Brian Real. But as far as William B. is concerned, no, I would have liked to go ahead and, go ahead and give him the number. But the problem of it is that, after spending 4.5 hours in order to go ahead and clean up what he had to say to me, I really didn't want to go ahead and do that, have to do that again. You understand what I'm saying?
Right, you know, I didn't know you knew that you
were... No, I went ahead and seen it, and I seen that he was on the phone here, but essentially, the thing about it is the talk show, essentially, I hear this, Well, what happens is that I can't go ahead, there's not room to go ahead and cover this. And, folks, this is not a one-hour show, this is not a two-hour show, this is, this in some cases has gone on for 6 hours. You know what I mean? This is a long show in some cases. And if people have, people want to go ahead and call in, I don't have a problem with that. Because, essentially, I have, I now have the resources, in order to go ahead and use TalkShoe. The reason I use TalkShoe isn't for recording anything on TalkShoe, it's for using the chat room, because it's a whole lot better than, Pal Talk is even better than TeamSpeak. Okay?
Yeah.
But TeamSpeak was pretty good, but the problem is that essentially I want people to go ahead and be able to call anonymously whenever the hell they want to call. Okay? But what I do not want, and that's why guest number 21 is just a stupid asshole, because what he does, you know, I mean, and I've heard this, Rinstead censors. I was there when he censored, when he went ahead and censored his show. And the answer is, no, I didn't censor my show. All I did was just simply make it to where, hey, if you're going to be an ass clown and ruin it for other people, you know, essentially what I'm going to have to do is, you end up having, you know, this one guy, I mean, essentially, you know, guest number 21 set out to go ahead and ruin for everybody else here. You know what I mean?
So now nobody can call in tonight except...
No, they can go ahead and call in. I mean, see, the thing about it is that this, you know, you're right now, you're talking on the house phone, okay?
Right.
You understand that? Well, the reason is that I can go ahead and use the house phone. You know, essentially, it's on a louder speaker phone. Now, if I go ahead, I mean, what I have to do is that I can't go ahead and use the actual talk shoe response, because what it'll do is it'll create feedback. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It'll create nothing but feedback, and as a result, I can't, you know.
Is that because of technical problems, or is it just the way it is?
No, it's just the way it is. I mean, you know, if you go ahead, one time I was trying to go ahead and have Russ Walker understand what old Dan Johns had said the night before, and what it did is it set a reverb feedback loop to where essentially it was just like being in a cave full of echoes here. You know, you'd go ahead and just hear it, you know, a second or so out of phase, and essentially you could make sense of it once this feedback loop started. And essentially I did one time take William B's call for about an hour or so, you know, on my cell phone, even put it on speakerphone, and what I ended up having to do is in order to go ahead and make that thing even listenable, you know, because, you know, I have a loud voice, it'll deafen rocks. And in order to make it even able to go ahead and listen, I literally had to go ahead and spend 4 or 5 hours here. So what I do is that I got, for 3 cents a minute, I got a phone card to where, hey, I want people to go ahead and just call me, you know, on the house phone and use it here. You know, meanwhile, on both, you know, on the computer, what I'm doing. Okay. Well, I'm able to go ahead. I went ahead and loaded up Toshiba number 2. But essentially what this ass clown did was he went ahead and screwed up it on Toshiba number 1. And now, what happens is I'm having to go ahead and block the guests until such time, you know, No, I can't go ahead and unblock them on Toshiba number 2. See, what happens is, you know, everybody, I want you to go ahead and thank guest number 21, because, see, as Dick Welton, I can't go ahead and log on as my username on Toshiba number 2, because then it'll mean I won't be able to save the chat. So what happens, we're having to go ahead and go through the foolishness of guest number 21.
Right, I get it. I see it everywhere I go.
Well, I mean, people like that, you know, you go ahead, and people like that, you know, people like Jeremy Visser, people like, you know, Morse Gillette or something like that, I mean, essentially you'd have a polite society, because, you know, the first time they did that would be the last time they did it. What you do is you'd make an example of them. I mean, I'm quite sure if somebody goes ahead and sees an ass clown being skinned alive, him and his family, right on the public square, and be made to watch a public execution for the benefit of their morals, they'd stop. You know, see, Mona, I mean, when it comes down to it, you know, I'm able to go ahead and have a conversation with you, and part of the conversation is, and I have people, this one social worker, I don't like the way you go and act, because essentially you go ahead and you make the assumption that I am wrong and you are always right. And I said, well, yes, that is indeed the case.
That's a normal human approach to discourse.
Well, it is. You know, the thing about it is the reason Eli James and William Fink and Brian Reel can't stand anybody or guests going ahead I mean, Eli James is a lot better, but essentially, you have old Steve Schultz, Steve Schwartz, Steve Elder, Commandor McFag, Son of a Miss, whatever the hell he calls himself now. What he does is that, you know, I've gotten on and say, hey, I keep talking about how he has Crohn's. I keep on talking about how he has U.S. cancer, and essentially McBragg will go ahead and whine and whine and whine and whine and whine about, oh, how he's, you know, not being treated very well or not being treated very nicely. And, you know, folks, what I'll probably end up doing is I'm going to have to go ahead and wait till all this crap that number 21 went ahead and, you know, did this. I'm going to have to go ahead and wait for it to go ahead and work its way out, and sooner or later it will. It might take about a half hour or an hour. And I'm sorry about that, but essentially I can't go ahead and get this thing done because essentially guest number 21, who is no longer there, has pretty well just simply overwhelmed the chat here.
Well, that's what they do. We call it DOS attack, and the Jews always do that in our chat rooms. In fact, we found out in room 3 that they're actually paid in Israel. That's the first job of a baby Mossad agent, is to go into the chat rooms and mess them up.
Well, yeah. I mean, see, the thing, I mean, under normal circumstances here, I mean, essentially, Jews in many cases want to be in their own ghetto because, essentially, if they went ahead and did this sort of kike shit, essentially a white man just go ahead and just kill or geld or skin the Jew alive. You know what I mean? I mean, what you end up having is you end up having to where Jews are allowed. I mean, when you consider it, you know, people who are Jews who consider themselves Jews, there's plenty of Jew mamzers running around. You know, half a little Mischlings or something like that. And Mark Twain used to go ahead and say that he couldn't believe, based upon the business practices, the Jews were only 2% of the population, that there was, what, oh, you know, what, how much he said, he couldn't believe there was only 750,000 Jews here. He believed that essentially the population of Jews was more like 25 million based upon the business practices of them. Now, of course, you do know that Mark Twain's daughter, Clara, married a Jew. Don't you?
No, I didn't. I don't know why that happened.
Well, it probably wasn't his idea. You know?
Yeah.
You know? And, anyway, it looks like we're coming to the, let's see.
The top of the hour.
No, not that here. What happens is that, okay, yes, you know, I'm looking at Frankenwigger. And it looks like I'm coming to the end here. So, you know, essentially it looks like, Toshiba number 1 is catching up. But essentially, there used to be this Right Haven, which was run by a bunch of Jews. What they would do is they go ahead and see if somebody went ahead and posted something. And then they go to the newspaper and, quote, buy the copyright and then file a lawsuit. Well, what happens is that all their little crap has gone ahead and sort of caught up with them. Right Haven, from what I gather, had some of its property seized. Its lawsuit, you know, its law office property seized for $63,000. It's gone ahead and declared bankruptcy or something.
Uh-huh.
So essentially, some of their crap has gone ahead and gone down. But the Digital Millennium Copyright Act was, you know, it was pretty well an act back in 1998, because what happens is Walt Disney, I think, died in 1965, and essentially Mickey Mouse, which first came out in 1939, was about to go ahead and have its copyright go ahead and expire.
Uh-huh.
So what they did is they went ahead and passed this Digital Millennium Copyright Act so that they would have more, you know, more of a copyright, you know, keep their copyright on Mickey Mouse and the rest of the stuff that Walt Disney went ahead and made. Now, the original, I mean, well, essentially what you have is you have all these laws that really do violate the Constitution. See, the original Constitution held that essentially you would have patents and copyrights for a limited time. Didn't say anything about, you know, and the whole idea was to go ahead and encourage people to go ahead and, you know, produce or make new things here.
Right.
But essentially, if you end up having these people go ahead and able to, well, go ahead and, you know, like in case of Walt Disney, hold the copyright 75 years after Walt Disney dies, i.e. 1965, so he died. So short, if it's pretty well closed, and, you know, Mickey Mouse is closed till about, what, 96 years after he was first drawn, well, hey, how's Walt Disney supposed to go ahead and come up with new stuff now that Walt Disney's been dead for a long time? You know what I mean?
No, I don't. I can't.
Okay. Well, anyway, the Supreme Court, you know, Frank Wigger says the Supreme Court ruled that downloading music is not DMCA, but what you end up having is by hook or crook, Brian Rio, Eli James, Bill Fink, essentially by going ahead and acting like a censor, they do not want anybody to make fun of them. I remember when Brian Rio was very quickest to go ahead and do it, he went ahead and he got somebody on there, and the guy was oh so polite, and then when he was ready to leave, he said, I imagine you've lost quite a bit of audience, Brian, now that everybody knows you're a mongrel. Click. You know, and then he went ahead and logged off, and Brian Rio was just mad as hell because this guy had gone ahead and said he was a mancer.
Right.
And I was, you know, you were on there, what, last night over on Finkelschini's.
Yeah.
You were asking about my great love for Felix Dzerzhinsky. And the answer is Felix Dzerzhinsky was not a Jew, although he had, you know, two Jew wives. He loved that Jew pussy, and he was Lenin's policeman. But you gotta understand, is that a corrupt regime? Even if it's the Wiggers who claim to be white, a corrupt regime essentially is not for the white race. And in short, if you're a Wigger, as far as I'm concerned, if you're a race traitor, you need to die, and you need to die far worse than even a Mamzer or a Jew, because I don't expect anything better from a Mamzer or a Jew, but I do expect something better from a Wigger. And if a Wigger cannot behave, then the Wigger needs to go ahead and die.
How do you feel that the Tsar of Russia was not loyal to the white race because he let the Jews in?
Well, no, what he did is he was, you know, he really, he wasn't so much loyal, of course he... The fact of the matter is, you got to understand, is that the Jews were in there before, you know, and Fink will not go ahead and explain what Christian identity is, because I believe that Fink is a Jew. I do know he's a criminal, you know, and all that sort of thing. But you've got to understand that the Jews have been infesting the white man ever since the days of Cain. And it's not just 4004 B.C., like the Bishop Usher used to go ahead and say, that the world began on 4004 B.C. on September 1st, you know, on September 1st at 9 o'clock in the morning or whenever. See, you know where he got the idea of 4004 B.C.?
No, he probably counted some days.
Well, he counted some dates here, but what he did is that he was actually, you know, he was actually somewhat of a premillennialist. This was before the preterists came into power, and essentially the Septuagint actually dates the date of the creation of Adam at around 5000 BC.
Okay.
And the Masoretic text of the King James Bible and all that sort of thing actually dates it around 4004 BC. If you go ahead and you use the Septuagint, you find out that, you know, I mean, Bertrand Comparé used to date the date of the flood at around, what, 3142 BC. So essentially, it occurred, you know, well, a little bit over 5,000 years ago.
Okay.
Okay? But, any case, Anyway, I'm just sort of going ahead and looking at the chat here. Folks, when I'm able to go ahead and catch up with the chat, I'll be able to go ahead and. But anyway, we'll go ahead and keep on talking. Anyway,
I know something.
The Tsar was simply an he was politically imbecile. See, you had some strong czars like Alexander the First, who went ahead and defeated Napoleon. And then you ended up, Tsar Nicholas's father, Alexander the Third. He was one hell of a big old tyrant. There used to be the story that he had this statute that the Bolsheviks kept up of Tsar Alexander the Third. And what he was mounted on, the man was 6'3". He weighed close to 300 pounds, and most of it wasn't fat. He was a big old Swede, is what he was. And essentially, he was big and huge, and he was on a horse about the size of a hippopotamus. And essentially, he just had a big old, that statue was to go ahead and show, you don't screw up the czar. He's going to crush you like a bug. And he was absolutely strong. But then you'd have weak czars like Alexander II, who went ahead and freed the serfs. You'd have other czars who essentially, it was a mixture between Peter the Great of despotism and liberalization. And essentially Peter the Great tried to go ahead and bring in Germans. He went ahead and he defeated the Swedes under Charles XII, and he took a lot of prisoners of war, and in many cases he was trying to bring in Western, not only Western ideas, but Western blood. But you would also have, characters like Nicholas II, who was a weak man. He was a weak, stupid man, just like Louis XVI was a weak, stupid man. And, not at all fit to go ahead and, be king or emperor or whatever. And as a result, they would go ahead and let whichever idiot, did things. And you got to understand is that the Russian people suffered horribly in World War One. They got their asses kicked. They didn't even have guns for all these soldiers. They just go ahead and march these soldiers direct into machine gun fire by the Germans. The Germans slaughtered hundreds of thousands of them. Of course, World War One was just nothing more than a slaughter.
That wasn't under the Tsar.
It wasn't under the Tsar. Because essentially what you had is that you had a decaying Swedish nobility ruling over a bunch of Slavs.
Okay.
But in the case of generally it's well understood, thanks to dual feed line, is that most of these Ashkenazi Jews are, quote, Khazars.
Right.
Well, where do you think the Khazars came from?
Khazaria.
Okay, so where did Khazaria come from?
Right. It's kind of in Russia.
Yes, it used to be in Russia. Where did the Khazars come from?
Okay, there are two breeds of people in the Khazarians. One of them is white, and they're normal people. I'm talking about in 1930, which National Geographic does a deal on them. They're both peasant class, but one of them are white, and they wear clothes, and they look like decent people. And then there's a bunch of short, brown, Mongolian-looking people that don't wear shoes.
Okay.
That's what the Khazars...
Well, that's... The Khazars came from the remnants of the Hittite Empire.
I agree with you.
The Hittite Empire... I mean, the Roman Catholic Church originated in many cases from Nimrod, but also had something to do with these Hittites, who were the Jews. And pretty well, you have a number of these empires which went ahead and fell apart. You've heard of Ramses II, haven't you?
I don't know much about him on command.
Okay, well, essentially he was about the longest living Egyptian pharaoh. He lived at the very zenith of the Egyptians, last kingdom, not their middle kingdom, not their old kingdom, their last kingdom. Essentially, after Ramses II, everything went downhill. And soon after, Ramses, lived here, you had, in the case of Troy, you had these Mycenaeans, who lived about, you know, about the same time, and you had for 400 years between, well, Hector, you know, Achilles, the rest here around 1200, the Mycenaeans, you had a 400-year dark age. It was called it was a Greek dark age. Essentially, the curtain rises up around 800 when Homer was writing about the Iliad, about what happened 400 years earlier. You've had dark ages. You've had dark ages long before in Egypt when empires have gone ahead and fallen apart. Being in Egypt, being in Greece here. And what happened is that the Hittite Empire sort of fell apart during Ramses' time here, but he had a big fight. He had a big fight at Megiddo, a.k.a. Kadesh. And what happens is that's where two roads went ahead, and, you know, you've heard of Armageddon. That means Armageddon. Well, there was this town, and it was a strategic town, and the Hittites went ahead and jumped on with their heavy cavalry, their heavy iron cavalry, and they slaughtered, you know, Ramses had his army divide up into four divisions. They slaughtered the first division and whipped the shit out of the second division, and then they stopped to loot the baggage train, and then Ramses managed to go ahead and rally his troops and fought the Hittites to a standstill. And the reason the Hittites had the advantage is that they were the very first ones to discover the working of iron.
Uh-huh.
And the reason they discovered the working of iron is that they were essentially, they were taught that secret by one of these demon watchers who told Tubal-Cain how to go ahead, not only work in bronze, but to work in iron. So they had an advantage. And during that 400-year interregnum, you had these smaller countries able to go ahead, and since Egypt was prostrate, since Greece was prostrate, Crete was prostrate, you end up having around the year 1000, you end up having these smaller kingdoms, like under David and Solomon, able to go ahead and prosper because these mighty empires were down. But these Khazars were pretty well destroyed by these Galatians. And essentially these Galatians were Israelites and Greeks who went ahead and destroyed them because they got tired of these Hittites. Well, the same thing happened in that Russian history usually begins officially around the year 1000 AD when Prince Vladimir was baptized into Christianity by, well, one of these Greek, you know, Byzantine people. But his grandfather, Stanislaus, he got tired of these Jews, these Khazars, essentially having a big old empire. And what he did is he pretty well screwed them up around the year 900 or so. And so their cavalry division was called the Magyars. They were free because the Khazars were pretty well destroyed as an empire. You know, they were still alive. He didn't go ahead and slaughter them all, but essentially he went ahead and made it to where they no longer were able to stop stuff here. And essentially, around 900, you know, around, oh, 920 or so, 917 or something, you know, Prince Vladimir's grandfather, Stanislaus, pretty well put an end to the Khazar Empire. And then after that, they were just simply Jews. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So, anyway, I believe Eli James is a supported Jew, and I believe, you know, Bill Fink is an Ashkenazi Jew.
Ashkenazi Jews. First of all, do you agree with me that Ashkenazi Jews have no blood kinship to Ashkenaz?
No, what they did is they stole the name of Ashkenaz. You know who Ashkenaz was, don't you?
Yeah, he was the son of Gomer.
Okay, well, who's Gomer?
Son of Korah.
No, okay, essentially, Ashkenaz was one of the sons of Gomer, who was also known as Gog. Now, Gomer's younger brother was known as Magog, but you've heard of, you know, you haven't heard of Gomer and Magog, but you have heard of Gog and Magog?
Correct.
Okay, well, Gomer, and we're not talking about Pyle here, we're talking about Gomer, he was also known as Gog, and his younger brother was known as you know, Magog. And when you hear of Gog and Magog, you're essentially talking about the orientalized Slavic people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
Now, when you talk about the Hamitic people, and I was reading Eustace Mullins, and Eustace Mullins, you know, was a big faggot or something like that, but he was somewhat Christian identity. I mean, he knew a lot of Christian identity stuff. And, you know, you got to go ahead and take... See, you've got to understand is that all our holy books, be it even the Bible, has been tampered with by Jews.
Oh, sure.
And the book of Jasher, why, it supposedly was mentioned in the book of, you know, is mentioned in the Bible a few times. Well, guess what? I think that it's been tampered with by Jews. The Talmud, they go ahead and they use the stuff which has been used, and the Jews go ahead and tamper with it. But anyway... The origin of the Rus was essentially you had these Slavic people who used to be known as the Wends, and later on they became known as the Slavs, and they were moving in. You know, you had these Huns, and essentially they were a white race mixed people who essentially some of the Israelites went ahead and racially mixed themselves with these Oriental people, and essentially had these Huns. And then after that, the Huns, well, here come the Khazars. Well, where did the Khazars come from? Answer, they came from Turkey, and they were the remnants of the Hittites. So essentially what they were is they were Jews.
Yeah.
That's what they were. And
they called themselves Jews.
They didn't call themselves Jews until... supposedly, you end up having King Bulan, who went ahead and supposedly invited them, you know, what religion will we be? And the story is, well, we can't be Christians, and we can't be Muslims, so let's go ahead and be Jews. And that's
right.
That's what the story is. The actual truth of the matter is they were, racially, they were Jews. That's why you keep on hearing, from these people, well, we did DNA tests, and there, you know, in many cases, there's not difference between Ashkenazi and Sephardi Jews. Well, yes, there is, but on the other hand, you know, generally these Jews, I mean, you got to understand, it was not a worldwide flood, so some of these Jews, like Steve Elder or whatever, if his ancestors went ahead and moved up to Britain, and bred with these Welsh or these Wheelos, you know, people. You know, these Neolithic Adamites. Essentially, they wouldn't have been in the flood. So therefore, they're not exactly Canaanites. But on the other hand, these Hittites, why, they're Canaanites as well. So they end up having, you know, blood through Noah. But also, you have some of these Kenites who never were underneath the flood. So you've had Jews mixed in among the whites ever since the days of Adam.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I mean, Cain. You know, and someone went ahead. I was talking over on News Guy, and you know, I think the guy who runs it here, his name is Peter Goodman, and essentially him and me, sort of. You know, I think he's a Jew. I think he is a Jew. He was a big buddy with Brian Rio or something like that here, but essentially he occasionally has me on a show because, well, I guess I'm an interesting guest on things. And he was asking me about John 8:44, and I explained that you got to understand when Jesus Christ was saying you're of your father the devil, he was the first murderer or something like that. Essentially, it was in reaction to these Pharisees saying, "Well, we are not of the Jews." We're not of the Jews.
I see a post that you might want to know about. Somebody saying, who's Amalek?
Amalek was one of the Canaanite tribes, and they were the most vicious of the... They were the most vicious, and Pastor John Britton thinks they were the more dangerous of the, you know, the Canaanites. The reason they're the most dangerous of the Canaanites is that they had a lot of Amorite blood. Now... The Amorites were these Canaanites who were the blonde, blue-eyed Canaanites. And therefore, they were... Huh?
I said, that sounds terrible.
Well, they were far more dangerous. They were far more dangerous than even an average Amalekite, and the reason they were far more dangerous than an average Amalekite is that they were able to impersonate white people far more. What happens, I didn't know this until I was reading one of the movement turns as to where the Gibeonites came from. And the Gibeonites came from these Amorites, who were the blonde, blue-eyed people here. And essentially, you end up, and a lot of this stupid crap has come in to where, well, these Semites went ahead and murdered, okay, well, it looks like we have a bunch of, quote, guests who went ahead and left the chat. Folks, I'm going to go ahead and unblock the guests here now that a lot of these people have gone ahead and left. You know, thank you, guest number 21. Thank you, guest number 29, 23, whatever. I mean, it looks like my chat has gone ahead and caught up, okay?
Uh-huh.
So you have these Amalekites, and essentially they were the most vicious of the Canaanites, and essentially Saul was sent to go ahead and exterminate them, and he didn't. That's why part of the reason he lost his kingdom.
Yeah.
Samuel went ahead and said, "Well, you didn't do what you were told. I don't really want you to go ahead and save these Amalekites. I didn't want you to save their animals. I didn't want this to be a looting expedition. You were supposed to kill everything."
Yes.
And you have Edgar Steele. I remember, kill them all, kill them all, kill them all. Here he was, bitching and pissing and moaning. And there were a lot of people in Christian Day who were mad as, you know, they were already mad as hell at him, you know, for not doing a very good job of defending Butler, but they're also mad at him for, didn't you learn a damn thing from Butler, you know, about who these Amalekites were? I mean, here you are whining like a pussy about Jews. Don't you know these Amalekites were dangerous Jews? And, I mean, here are all these people who, you know, they're just typical Wiggers. They're smarter than God and dumber than dirt, like I say. Okay?
And there's this guy that wants to know what you think of Harold Covington.
This is Harold Camping.
Oh, I'm sorry. I
don't really know a Harold Camping.
You do?
So the Hittites are the Ashkenazis and the sons of Esau, and the Hittites are the Sephardim. No. What happens is that the Ashkenaz, the Hittites, you know, became the Ashkenazi. What happens, the Amalekites were people, you know, you gotta understand, these Hittites did not live in the land of Canaan. They lived in Asia Minor. They lived in what is now central Turkey. That's where they lived. Okay? So, the thing about it is I don't know what to think of Harold Camping. I don't know who Harold Camping is, okay? So, in any case, the Amalekites have always been...
blonde, right. And I want to ask you a question. How do you know that the Amalekites will be our blonde?
And the answer is I don't. That was what Pastor John Britton was going to tell me. Now, the reason I go ahead and listen to what Pastor John Britton tells me is that I was raised in a Herbert Armstrong British Israelite household as a young man, okay?
Yes.
Pastor John Britton was raised essentially in the Britton household, which was essentially a dual seed line church from Wesley Swift and Bertrand Comparé's church.
Okay.
You understand what I mean? So as a result, because they are dual seed line, and, you know, Pastor John Britton was able, as a child, raised up in dual seed line Christian identity, essentially when he goes ahead and says something, he's repeating what his father, James Britton, and what Newman Britton, and what Wesley Swift and Bertrand Comparé believed. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So generally, I go ahead and I listen to it here.
Right.
And in many cases, you know, it's sort of like being able to talk to E. Ray Capt, but E. Ray Capt was a single seed liner. You know what I mean? It's, you know, whenever he goes ahead and says something, I go ahead and listen, and in many cases, at least he has a reason for what he went ahead and said. Now, I was reading what the Eustace Mullins was saying, and essentially Eustace Mullins was saying a number of things that essentially, well, I heard from Pastor John Britton, and usually when Pastor John Britton says something, it's usually correct here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I do go ahead and listen. And anyway, he was telling me a couple months ago is that the reason the Amalekites were dangerous was not only because they were doubly the spawn of Satan, you know, the spawn of these demons, but they were also dangerous in that they were skilled in infiltration, able to go ahead and carry out the infiltration, because there's some belief that they look the most like the Israelites.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, the Gibeonites, okay, it looks like I'm going to have to go ahead, and thank you, guest number 32. What I'm going to do is that, you know, shit, I guess, you know, that's the problem with letting, you know, people go ahead and get on. I mean, you know, it looks like the chat has been taken over again, my mamsers, hasn't it?
By the Jews. I know these people. I've seen them in every chat room I go to.
Well, it's been taken over again by these ass clowns here.
Right.
Essentially, what I'm going to have to do is, well, it looks like number 27 and the rest here. Essentially, what I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to block participation by the guests again.
Okay.
And, essentially, you know.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, well, I'll go ahead and block participation by the guests. And what I'm going to do is that, you know, from now on, folks, go ahead, if you're a guest, stick with me. And the reason you should stick with me is that essentially I'm just going to go ahead and just, hey, if you're, you know, if you're 27 and whatever left after that here, well, I'm not going to go ahead and let you on anymore. Okay? So, well, looks like number 32 decided to leave. Looks like 27 decided to leave. So I'm going ahead and looking at this sort of thing.
That's good.
Well, I mean, I could go ahead and start this here. I mean, 32, 27 and 32, you know. I mean, the thing about it is that shit, what it is that, you know, let's say number 27 was caught here, and he was skinned alive here, and he was skinned alive before another Nimbuster. I mean, essentially, if you went ahead and was found that, you know, hey, if you end up getting caught being an ass clown, that essentially there's no right to be an ass clown, there's no right to be rude or deliberately evil just for being evil. Well, I imagine you go ahead and end, you know, that shit would go ahead and end. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
But, hey, I mean, in this wonderful nation, essentially we have to go ahead and essentially put up with ass clowns.
That's right.
Is the way that the ass clowns believe that this shit ought to be. So what I'll do is I'll go ahead and block participation and, it looks like somebody went ahead and came on and did their dirt. And in any case, Mona, in the case of the Russ, what you end up having is you end up having these mixed race Slavs who weren't originally mixed race here. You had some of them who remained behind. You know, in the case of Georgians, you know, I'm not talking about, you know, American Georgians. I'm talking about Georgia. Georgia over, you know, over in the old world.
In Russia.
Essentially, the reason you still have these fights here between the South Ossetians, you know, which happened over 3 years ago, and these Georgians is that essentially most of these Georgians are Jews. And most of these, you know, South Ossetians, well, what happens, they're Mamzers, but they are descended from these people called the Alans, which were some of these Israelites which stayed behind and got overwhelmed by all these, well, mixtures of the rest. So what happens is that these Ossetians and these Georgians still hate one another even after, what, 2,000 years have passed. It's still going, you know, you still have this Genesis 3:15 enmity to where the South Ossetians, essentially, they relied on the Russians to go ahead and protect them against these Georgians. And essentially, here our Jews were trying to go ahead and essentially get these Georgians to cause trouble. And essentially what the Russians did, they just came in, just whipped their ass and told the Americans, well, fuck you, what are you going to do about it? And essentially the Americans weren't able to go, I mean, essentially, America is just simply a big old bully they're no longer an aging bully, which no longer have very much, well, ability to go ahead and actually do much of anything. Right now, they're talking about going against the Iranians.
Yeah.
Okay. So, folks, let me ask a question here. Do the Iranians have a, quote, right to develop nuclear weapons like the Jews have and like the Americans have and like the Chinese have and everybody else has? Do they have a right to go ahead and develop nuclear weapons if, you know, they think that they need them?
I don't think they're doing that.
No, I don't think they're doing it either, but, you know, let's just say that they are or they aren't doing it. Do they have as much right to develop nuclear weapons as the Jews and the rest of them do?
Yeah, but I think the Jews should have to dismantle theirs.
Well, they wouldn't have been able to have them here unless, you know...
Unless they stole them from us, which is what they did.
Yeah. Well, they didn't steal from them. I mean, we gave them to them. We went ahead and gave the Jews nuclear weapons.
We never intended them... See, back in the 50s, everybody was talking about nuclear energy to be used for lighting up the city and having an unlimited resources of energy.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we gave Israel our scientists, the atomic material, and everything we needed to build this Adams for Peace plan under Eisenhower. But they snuck it. They turned it into weapons, which was against the agreement. And then when JFK found out about it, he was going to take them away from them. And that's one of the reasons they assassinated him. Those are illegal weapons, totally illegal.
Well, they got them. I mean, they get to do with it whatever they want.
Yeah, they've got them, but we could actually take them away if we ever wanted to.
Well, what we could do is simply refuse to go ahead and give them any more money. I mean, you end up having this sort of thing to where they go ahead and build more settlements, and essentially what boils down to is, okay, look to you boys, I mean, essentially, we'll let the Iranians do whatever the hell they want to you. We don't give a shit.
Yeah, that's one very good approach to the problem. But in answer to your question, I would agree that both Iran and Israel should adhere to equal laws regarding nuclear.
But there's not nuclear. Iran don't have nuclear weapons. I think they probably do have nuclear weapons. I mean, shoot. I mean, if I'd been an Iranian cleric, and here, right across the border is Russia, which is falling apart, I mean, shoot, I would go ahead and, you know, I'd go ahead and put a couple $1 million in some crooked Russian general's pocket. You know what I mean? I'd go ahead and give them a bank account, and then what I'd do is I'd go ahead and steal all these, you know, nuclear weapons. You know, you don't have the electronic code to them, but essentially what you do is you go ahead and you strip off the nuclear code to it. And, you know, I mean, I used to be in a tactical nuclear missile battalion.
Oh, my God, that's wonderful.
Well, I don't know if it was wonderful, but I used to be in it.
Because you have a good scope on the situation.
Well, I mean, you know, I used to sort of, you know, they used to have, what happens, we didn't trust the Germans with nuclear weapons. Essentially, you know, even in the German crews here, I mean, the last missile system had 6 battalions in Germany. 3 of them were nuclear, 3 of them were HE, to fire cluster bombs. Okay? So, what did you end up doing, or what did you end up using that, you know, using with that? And the answer is that, well, you didn't worry about it, you know, very much, because, well, I mean, what scared them, you know, is that you would have all these places to where we would go ahead in the event of war with Russia, we would go ahead and get the nuclear warheads. You know, they didn't store the warheads on base because we were the number one target here. Nuclear armed missiles were the number one targets. But you got to understand is that, shoot, they made not only nuclear, they made not only nuclear warheads for missiles, you know, even little bitty ones like the Lance, they used to make nuclear warheads for 105-millimeter cannons. They used to make them for, of course, 155 and 8-inch units.
I don't know how big a millimeter is. Could you tell me how much that would be in feet or inches?
25 millimeters. Around approximately 25 millimeters is an inch. Okay?
And how many millimeters were these?
Well, 105. So essentially, a four inch, you know, wide across cannon, 105. You would have. I mean, you still had some of these people with an MOF, you know, for firing even as small as 105 millimeter, you know, which was really small. Usually, the average was 155. The average, you know, the average tube unit was 155. You'd have a few what was called 8 inches, which was 203 millimeter, but they call it 8 inch, you know, cannons because.
I didn't know any of that.
Okay, well, I used to be in the artillery, and I used to explain about how these tube units have been over, you know, have been done away with mainly in favor of these multiple launch rocket systems. It's what my MOS went from being last to now it's the MOS, you know, the military occupational specialty for firing the multiple launch rocket system. Well, your rockets have taken over, but they cost millions and millions and millions of dollars. But what they are is they don't require as many men because essentially what they are is they're put in a crate. And essentially what you do is that now you end up having for the rocket launcher, you have a truck. Now, I think it's a truck, not even a tracked vehicle. You have a truck-like thing on pneumatic tires. And essentially, you have a small computer. You have a computer. I mean, you know, it's not like 1957 where you have to use a 300-pound field artillery digital automatic computer which has vacuum tubes and is fed, you know, is fed and programmed by means of a paper tape here with all this sort of thing. I mean, you know, folks, I was in an artillery unit. And it used to be that even when you're firing the propellant, it was called 8 bag because they have 8 bags. And what they would do is they would take the 8th bag because the 8th bag is only meant to be used when you're firing a nuclear round, a nuclear projectile, and you have to go ahead and make sure that it's at the limit of the range of the gun here, which is usually 12 to 15 miles. Now, a towed howitzer has a bigger range because, essentially, if you end up having a self-propelled howitzer, it has a turret in it.
For just one second.
Sure.
Because that's very punishing that you're telling me that they can send these nuclear missiles that are about 5 inches in diameter.
No, well, they're not a missile. What they are is they're an artillery shell.
Yeah, they're like bullets. Yeah.
So what I'm saying is that, well, essentially, you know, here you have these artillery shells with nuclear, you know, I mean, they're probably lead lined on the inside, but, you know, steel or whatever on the outside. But here you end up having an artillery shell. A nuclear artillery shell designed not to make an H-bomb, but designed to go ahead and provide an atomic weapon. And, folks, that thing can go ahead and be stolen, and unless you're going ahead and counting them, by the, you know, I mean, how are you going to know that they're gone? And the answer is you're not going to know they're gone. So I believe that Iran, if it had anybody with any sense in the 1990s, you know, shoot, if I was an Iranian cleric, what I would do is rather than work on a nuclear power program and scrape off fuel rods, essentially, I just simply go ahead and put a couple $1 million in some crooked Russian general's bank account and essentially go ahead and buy a whole bunch of, you know, plutonium and uranium from these missiles, from these artillery shells. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
So I think that probably Iranians have it, but now they've got to go ahead, since they already have the nuclear weapons, you can't say, well, we went ahead and bought from this crooked general here, and, you know, go ahead and kill them now. No, what they're saying is they're pretending they're scraping with centrifuges. They're pretending they're scraping off uranium, you know, from the shell. I think they already got nuclear weapons.
Okay? Are you getting a call coming in there?
No, what happens is that essentially the reason this thing is going beep 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 is it's because the home phone here is, you know, the home phone is having, you know, is saying that it has a low battery.
He needs to be recharged, right?
Well, I need to go ahead and get the other phone here. So folks, we're gonna go ahead and take a break.
Yep.
And we'll come back in a bit here.
Go
go to Dickie's Mansion to see what I can find. I find a bunch of goodies from 2005. I see all those items from the good old days. His butt book is in my hands and his leather's all day. Want to be a sword mender in the SS. Want to be a sword faggot in the SS. Want to be a sword mender in the SS. Sword mender, sword faggot in the SS. In the gay pride parade, Dickie rolled with pride, sucking off niggers in the dusty countryside. Every red nigger bastard that wanted to pay, we would suck them off day after day. Wanna be a sword master in the SF? Wanna be a sword faggot in the SF? Wanna be a sword master in the SF? Sword master, sword faggot in the SF! Today I grin when I see his bull whip. My sphincter's battle tested. I know it's really drift. Get that good on butt. A gleam in my eyes. Call me Brian Real. I tell nothing but lies. I'll be a sword mancer in the SF. I'll be a sword faggot in the SF. I'll be a sword mancer in the SF. Sword mancer, sword faggot in the SF. Wanna be a sword mancer in the SF. Wanna be a sword faggot in the SF. Wanna be a sword mancer in the SF. Sword mancer, sword faggot in the SF. Alright, this is the next thing. I was yakking with him for an hour about, you know, essentially, did you know that about where the barn, you know, the caste system come from? Essentially, it came from, you know, essentially, it wasn't the way it was here. Essentially, the whites went ahead and they went ahead and racially mixed.
Right.
With these niggers. And now as a result here, if you go ahead and you look at the niggers from India, essentially they don't have big noses like American niggers or African niggers or Australian niggers. Essentially they're niggers, they can be black as the ace of spades, but what they do is that their faces, you know, have sort of European looking features, right?
Right, right.
Well, that's the result of what? 4,000 years of race mixing. And what Buddha did...
The Brahmin caste looks very Caucasian. They don't look like...
Some of them do. But the thing about it is, even these so-called Brahmins at Bollywood, I mean, essentially, they still look like South Italians. You know what I mean?
They do, yeah, you're right. But some of them don't. Some of them...
Well, let me just go ahead and go on with what ended up happening here. See, Buddhism, for a while, went ahead under the Emperor Ashoka, went ahead and expanded. It was big in India. Okay? And what Buddha did is that essentially he did away with a lot of the caste system. He said if you go ahead and follow the five, you know, precepts or the eight noble ways or whatever, to want goes ahead and makes you dissatisfied, then this dissatisfaction leads you to sin. Essentially stop wanting and essentially go ahead and live an ascetic lifestyle. Eventually, you don't need caste. Eventually, if you live a good life, you can go ahead and achieve nirvana. You can go ahead and go on and be one with the universe. You got to understand the Hindu religion, essentially, you're born. You're born with eternal life. Essentially, eternal life is just nothing but a burden. So where you have to go through all these lifestyles, you know, all these lives here. You know what I mean? You're cursed with eternal life.
That's true.
Right? I mean, what happens is totally different from Western religions, you know, especially Christianity, is that you're not reincarnated. Essentially, you are born here, you have your chance to go ahead and, well, in Christian identity, essentially, even if you understand the law of Yahweh, and even though you're born with it, if Jesus Christ does not call you, essentially, you're not going to go ahead and have your chance to have eternal life. Essentially, you know, and some, you know, like, you know, Herbert Armstrong Church says is that what happens when Satan has been put in the pit for 1,000 years, you have your chance, you know, to go ahead and be resurrected, and without Satan's, you know, mischief, essentially you can go ahead and become a born son of God. That's why it's a big deal about the first fruits, you know, what's called Pentecost. You know what I mean? In Christianity, or the Feast of the First Fruits. You know, Jesus Christ was the first fruit. But what happens if you're one of Jesus Christ's disciples, one of his followers, And you go ahead, and like it says, you know, in the parable about the, you know, the laborers and the penny, you know, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first.
Okay.
Yeah.
In
any case, if you go ahead and you know, that's why it's a good thing with, you know, the real Christian identity. We're not talking about the Jew frauds like, you know, Eli James, Finkelstein, Mamzers, all this other shit here. I mean, these people are just playing at being Christian identity or Aryan nations or whatever they're pretending to be here for whatever little reason. You know, they want to pretend to be something they're not. And someone like me here looking at them, oh, shit, you know, idiot, you're a fraud, you're a farce, you know, you're not what you pretend to be. I mean, please, you end up having Jews with Crohn's disease coming in, pretend to be Israelites. I mean, come on, give it a break here. You know what I mean?
Asking for advice on how to deal with Crohn's disease by your fellow Jews in the Christian Identity chat room.
Well, I mean, it's ridiculous when you think about it here. You know what I mean? That's why I've taken to ridiculing. You know, essentially, it's not enough to go ahead and say, why does Eli James look like a Jew? Bob? I mean, essentially what I do is I just go ahead and, you know, pick on old Steve Elder, McFag, McBragg, because he's a total tard. And he goes ahead, and like I tried to explain to Eli James here, Eli James is following, you know, essentially, these wandering Mamzers want to be told that they're Israelites. Not that they're Mamzers, not that they're Jews, not that they're something. That's why they're running around with Fink here, because Fink will pretend that, you know, that they're something that they're not, as long as they kiss Fink's ass. So that's why Fink has gone ahead and got a bigger audience than Eli James. It used to be the exact opposite.
Mamzers, you mean?
Yeah, well, the wandering Mamzers.
Okay.
I mean, you know, the thing about it is that here I am listening to Fink to go ahead and essentially find out what the hell Fink's up to. Okay? I mean, I pretty well spy on everybody. Used to spy on Harold Covington until Harold Covington essentially I made an arrangement with Harold Covington, and I still got some of these spy accounts, but, you know, essentially Harold Covington doesn't even bother with the Yahoo groups anymore, so there's really nothing to spy on. You know what I mean?
If they kick you out, you should come back as a spy. Fuck them.
Well, that's, you know, generally I go ahead, and that's why I have four computers.
That's,
you know what I mean?
Right, that's the way.
You know, three of them, you know, last night I was spying on old news guy or something like that here. So, yes, I do go ahead and do the spying. Doesn't bother me a bit, okay?
Of course
do you, yeah. All right. But anyway, getting on is that Buddha, you know, Buddha simply said is that, hey, no need for caste. A Brahmin who becomes a Buddhist, well, he can go ahead and essentially, you know, he can go ahead and achieve enlightenment here. But on the other hand, an untouchable who goes ahead and follows the way of Buddhism, he can go ahead in this life achieve nirvana. Now, how many Brahmins who got an exalted position do you think follow Buddhism?
Yeah. Buddha went way worse than what you said. He said, no longer you have to marry within your caste. Now if you're a good nigger, you can marry a white man.
Okay.
He was total destructive.
Well, yes, but you got to understand is that shit, by this time, there really weren't any white Aryans. There weren't any pure white men.
It wasn't that bad. It was not that bad. It is much worse now. You could still tell the difference in the castes when Buddha came along.
Fine. But the thing about it is that I will agree with you, because this was at 600 B.C., so this was approximately 1,000 to 1,800 years, you know, previously you had these Aryan invasions. So, yes, you still had some whiter people than you have now.
Right.
Granted, okay? Right. But on the other hand, by the time Buddha came along, you had a lot of race mixing go on. You had a lot of Peter Duncan.
And what Buddha did that was so wrong was he said, we're going the right direction, let's continue race mixing. Instead of what an enlightened man would have said was, we got to stop this right now.
Well, that's what the whole idea of caste and Varna was. But it didn't work now, did it?
The caste system worked. It didn't work perfectly, but it worked.
It didn't work. In the long run, it didn't work at all. Any more than apartheid did. Under apartheid, essentially, you know, South Africa went from what? 3 million niggers to 35 million niggers under apartheid.
Really?
Yeah, really.
That's because they opened up those mines and the Negroes.
Well, yes. What happens is that, you know, look, there's two things which will go ahead and ruin any race here. You know, first is pussy and the second is money. You know what I mean?
What was the first one?
Free pussy and the second is money.
What's the first one again?
Free pussy.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right.
I mean, essentially, I don't know about you, Mona, but shit here, when, you know, even when I was 16 years old, I mean, shoot, you know what I mean? You know, I'm going ahead and looking at this school teacher who's getting convicted for essentially fucking 5 football players who went ahead and yapped about how they got some, you know, they went ahead and got to hump her here when she was 30 and they were 16. And I'm thinking, why the hell is this bitch being sued? Why the hell is this bitch in trouble? I mean, shit, all they did was save themselves $30, $35 from going to a truck stop and getting a blowjob or whatever. I mean, I just couldn't understand that. I mean, back in my day here, if you could go ahead and find some older woman to go ahead and screw you, you sure as hell didn't go ahead and snitch her out. You know what I mean? You know, unless she gave you a case of clap. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, I mean, I can't sort of understand that. See, the thing about it is that, shoot, you know, I mean, when you are young, I mean, essentially, when you're a young male, essentially, and that's a special case for niggers, it's pretty well the case for any young male species here, you know, even white ones, essentially, you know, the head that does the thinking for you is usually the one below the waistline. Okay?
Yeah.
And, you know, essentially, the caste system didn't work. You know, what happens is that going on here is that Buddhism initially went ahead and was successful. But on the other hand, the people who were benefiting from the Hindu system didn't go ahead and go along with it.
How can you call it successful when it destroyed the entire gene pool?
Well, it did, you know, I mean, essentially, you know, for example, in the case of Noah's day,
yeah.
When Noah was born here, do you think that you had so much a problem with race mixing and demon mixing and all this sort of thing that you see at the beginning of Genesis chapter 6? Do you think you had that big of a problem then?
I got to think about it. First of all, Noah was, in my opinion, an icon of a bunch of people who got into boats when Atlantis was being submerged by the melting glaciers.
Okay, well, that's very nice, but that's not exactly a Christian identity notion.
Well, Christian identity is going to have to go a little farther with their brain.
Or what? I mean, look, Mona, I don't see Christian identity believing that Noah's boat had something to do with Atlantis. You know what I mean?
If you want to identify with Jesus Christ, you better figure out who he is. Otherwise, you dare not call yourself an identification with Jesus.
Mona, I don't believe Jesus Christ had anything to do with Atlantis, okay?
Why not?
Because essentially he didn't say a damn thing about Atlantis in his gospels.
Probably didn't know it.
Okay, if he didn't know it, then, you know, then why do you think he was identified with it then?
What?
I mean, if there's a big mystery to Jesus Christ, I think it can go ahead and remain a big mystery to me. Okay, Mona?
Oh, yeah, I'm not trying to make you uncomfortable. I'm just saying, if you call yourself Christian identity, you should study the personality of Jesus.
I don't think it had anything to do with Atlantis, Mona.
Well, you do agree that he was white, right?
Yes.
And you have to ask yourself, how did white people end up in that foul desert area? And
it was the land of, quote, Canaan. They were supposed to go ahead and kill all these Canaanites and take it over. That was their initial promised land. Now it's no longer the Holy Land. Actually, it was the unholy land because the dirty Jews went ahead and murdered Jesus Christ in it. The new Israel, the new promised land, is the land between the two oceans, i.e. America. All right? That's Christian identity dogma. Okay?
How do you figure tall, slender, blue-eyed blondes ended up in that area? I know what the answer is. God put them there.
Okay. Well, there you go.
No, that's not a good enough.
Well, all right, Mona. Have it however way you want here. I'm just simply saying that's not Christian identity doctrine. All right?
And Christian identity has a little learning to do.
Okay, Mona, but I don't think they're going to go ahead and, I don't think they're going to go ahead and make you the next Mary Baker Eddie here with Chris Sandetti, okay?
If you Christian Identity people refuse to see Jesus as the man that he was, completely blind yourself to his personality and instead set him up as some kind of wonderful human sacrifice, you're doing him a terrible disservice.
Well, hey, Mona? Hey, Mona? Now that I think of it here, Mona, could you maybe call in to Bill Fink and tell him that?
No.
No, please do.
No, he's so crazy on me, and you know it.
Well, so I'm not going crazy on you, Mona. I'm sort of going Job on you, but I'm not going crazy on you, Mona.
Yeah.
I'm going Job on you. It says, "Why me, Yahweh? Why me? What I will not do for this show."
Because you're broad-minded enough to listen to an opposing point of view.
Of course, here. I think you're full of shit, Mona, but hey, you know, at least I listened to it. I mean, maybe Mona, you go ahead and draft here the race with Atlantis with Jesus Christ in Nazareth here, okay?
Because a million years, white people left Africa and landed in England where they turned white. It took a million years. 200,000 years ago, they were fully human. And archaeological record.
Okay, what happens is that essentially the archaeological record of Cro-Magnon man has been put back about 4 or 5 thousand years. What was some baby teeth they went in and found here? So it used to be about 38,000 years. Then it was around 39,000 years BC. Now it's been pulled back to what, 43,000 or 44,000 BC.
This man has a whole new name. He's called Anglia Man.
Okay.
And he goes back a million years, and he develops into Homo sapiens. In England, which is where white people came from. That's where we evolved.
Is that right? Okay. Anyway, getting on to what happened with Buddhism.
Yeah.
Buddhism didn't last very long in India, and part of the reason was that, hey, you had a whole bunch of Hindu opposition, but the main thing that went ahead and finished it off here was right around, you ended up having, around the end of the Middle Ages, around Babur and a number of these people, among Genghis Khan and the rest here, essentially what you end up having is that you end up having the Muslims go ahead and invade. And Muslims do not believe in caste. In fact, of all Western religion, they're the least racist.
That's
you understand what I mean?
That's why we hate the Muslims.
Okay, well, part of the reason we hate Muslims is they're just a bunch of dirty sand niggers who we don't want nothing to do with. I don't really hate them so much, but essentially they belong over there here. But anyway, they came in, and essentially, if you were, let's say you were just a little nigger. You're just a little nigger here. And you were a quote untouchable. And essentially, what happens is that the Muslims went ahead, what with these Buddhists, not believing in violence here, all this sort of thing. Essentially, the Muslims went ahead and got to run right all over them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you end up having what's called Sikhism, which is a synchronization between Muslim belief and Hindu belief or Buddhist belief.
Yeah.
And essentially what it was is that essentially they went ahead and took a little bit of the Hindu belief and a little bit of the Muslim belief, and they went ahead and made a sort of old motley religion here of them two people. But essentially among the Muslims, they went ahead and beat the dog shit out of the Hindus.
Yeah.
And the Buddhists, And essentially, all through that here, and you had these people who were essentially untouchables under the Hindu belief, and essentially they got a chance to go ahead and get a higher social status by going ahead and going to the Muslim invaders. So some of them did that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, some of them did that. I mean, here you are. here you are, just a brown, you know, a brown skinned piece of shit here with European features from all this miscegenation here that occurred under the wonderful caste system. And essentially, what happens? Okay, I can be an untouchable, or what happens is I can be a son of the prophet.
Right.
Which is better? Answer, well, hey, you know, becoming a Muslim.
Something
else. I mean, getting rid of this crap to where, hey, I'll buy another 5,000 lives I have to put up with shit here with all these fucking Brahims fucking me. Well, hey, what happens is that I can go ahead and become a Muslim and then just go ahead and shove a sword up the ass of this local Brahim asshole who's fucking with me.
Let me make you look at the moral choice that was made there. The little nigger had to say, do I want to be the lowest member of this elegant, working, orderly society, or do I want to turn traitor to enjoy a higher status with these brigands?
Why is he a traitor here? What, you know, think about it is that by this time, I mean, shoot, have you looked at the vast majority of Indians? I mean, shoot, even the so-called whitest ones here looks like a sort of mamzer anyway. So what difference does it make?
It makes the difference of being in an orderly society or joining a bunch of thugs.
Well, I would probably say, oh, by the way, you know where the word thugs comes from, don't you?
No, I don't.
Comes from the practice of these Hindus, you know, who worship the god Kali.
Okay.
Essentially, what happens, Kali was the goddess of death and murder, and her followers were called Thuggee. Essentially, they believed that what you would do is that you would go ahead and worship Kali as a good Hindu by going ahead and killing quite a few people, and they called them Thuggees.
Okay.
That's where the word thugs came in. The British Empire didn't believe in allowing what they call a bunch of wogs to kill one another without their permission. So essentially, they didn't much care for they pretty well in the 1800s put an end as far as they could by simply going ahead and hanging all the thuggies, followers of Kali. Now, you know where the city of Calcutta comes from, don't you?
No.
Well, what happens is that was named after the goddess Kali here.
Oh.
You know, so essentially, the British put an end to the practice of Thuggee, i.e. these wonderful Hindu worshippers who went ahead and believed, essentially, that Kali wanted them to go ahead and kill other people.
Especially,
you know what I mean?
Especially Muslims.
Well, from what I gather, generally the Muslims were pretty well armed. They wouldn't go ahead and put up with this shit here. Generally what happens is that these thuggies were killing other Hindus is what they were doing.
Okay?
Okay.
Yeah. Kind of like organized crime?
Huh?
Was it like organized crime?
Well, no. Essentially, it was these people who went ahead and believed that Kali wanted them to kill other people.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's hard to picture, but I think I can understand it.
Well,
yeah.
Just go ahead and look up Kali on Jupedia, or Thuggee, and you'll find out is that essentially the British didn't much care for that shit. You know what I mean? They sort of put it,
right.
Essentially they went ahead and said, well, okay, here's a chance to reach your next order here. We're going to hang you, like a dog till you're dead here. We had enough of this stupid shit. We're not going to go ahead. I mean, essentially, if there's going to be any killing done, I mean, you can go ahead and rely on the Queen's own, Queen's own, Royal Forces or what, Three Point Forces or whatever to do it.
Right.
Now,
according to Hinduism, I think what you're revealing here is that if you were a Hindu and you had murder in your blood, you know, you liked to kill people, then you would pray to Kali to help you.
I don't think it was that way at all.
Okay.
You just went ahead and asked where the term thugs came from. I went ahead and pointed out it originated among among the wonderful worshippers of Hinduism. Because
right.
Kali was one of their goddesses. You remember the blue coated bank here with eight arms?
Yeah.
That was Kali.
Right.
Okay.
But it was. I'm saying that in Rome, for instance, if you were a woman and you wanted to be beautiful, you would pray to Venus to make you beautiful. And if you wanted to, in India, if you wanted to murder people, you'd pray to Kali to help you murder people, right?
I don't know. I never was a practitioner of Thuggy. Pretty well the British put an end to that shit.
It was like a polytheistic religion, and you could...
That's what Hinduism was.
Yeah,
they had many, many, many gods.
Yeah.
I'm just simply saying is that, you know, when the Aryans loaded up their ox carts around 2000 to 1500 BC, essentially their gods were like the gods of the Greeks and like the gods of the Germans. Okay?
Is there a killing god among those Aryan gods?
Well, I mean, Thor was the god of thunder and war, or maybe it was two. You know, two was god. You know, was the god of war. You know, thunder. You know, if you ever been to Germany here, let's see. You have Woden's Day, which is Wednesday. You have Tuesday, who was the god of war. You have Thor's Day, which the Germans call Donnerstag.
Yeah.
You know, which means Thunder Day, because Thor was the thunder god. Thunder Day. You know, you have Frey's Day.
Well,
and Frey, you know, essentially Frey was. You know, Frey was the god of bounty and harvest.
It was a goddess, I believe, Freya.
Yes, but what happens among the Swedes, essentially what happens is there was sort of a, you know, it was sort of like a god with two, you know, both sex organs. You know, you had Frey and Freya. You know what I mean? And pretty well, you know, I used to do a search here. Is that Nerthus?
I don't doubt it. I just didn't know.
Nerthus was the Earth Mother among the Germans, but among the Swedes, Nerthus was a male god. You know, can you believe that here? And essentially, Wodenism, Wodenism went ahead and overtook Nerthus. You know, Nerthus. When Tacitus went ahead and took about Germania, essentially Nerthus was the god of the harvest and the rest here. And what she would do is she would go ahead and be drawn in a cart, you know, in a cart by seven or nine, I think nine pregnant heifers. And essentially there was this here woman here. Essentially she'd be screwed by the priests of Nerthus here, and what happens, she would be given as a sacrifice every 7 or 9 years or something like that.
Well, it sounded good at first, and then it turned ugly.
Well, I guess it did. I guess if you were the priestess of Nerthus here, I mean, essentially, first you'd be diddled, and then you'd be screwed while you're pregnant here. You know what I mean?
And then you get killed.
Yeah, you go ahead and, you know, get, you know, what happens is... And what happens is that in my unfinished novel, you know, that I was talking about you know, no, this is Trash Can Man, where I was talking about, you know, the Red Dragon of Wales here, and I was saying that this was essentially what the Merlin magician went ahead, and, you know, when Vortigern was running away after having betrayed the Britons, you know, essentially you had the White Dragon, which represented the Saxons, and the Red Dragon, which represented the Romano-British, who ended up being called the Welos, which meant foreigners.
Uh-huh.
And they became known as the Welsh. They became known as the Welos. You know what I mean? And
uh-huh.
Essentially, if you want to talk about the very first border fence, in the 600 ADs, King Offa the Second, who was the son, you know, 12th generation from Offa the Silent, mentioned Beowulf. Essentially, him and his queen went ahead and built this big old ditch called Offa's Dyke. And essentially, if you were a Welshman caught on the wrong side of Offa's Dyke, pretty well a Saxon could go ahead and chop off your head, just like if you were John Wesley Hardin and you'd seen a beaner on the wrong side of the Rio Grande, you'd go ahead and plug that here just for the hell of it. You know what I mean? So essentially, if you're a Welos or a Welsh here, and what happens is you have a name like, you know, you have one of Eli James's characters who's with McFag over on Harold Covington's thing. He doesn't understand why I call him what Mac. His name is Williams. I call him Mac Hog Welos. Essentially, he doesn't know. You know, he's not quite sure what a Welos is, but he knows it's a pejorative, you know, term.
Right. It means dark Roman.
Well, it means
Vader.
No, what happens is the Britain. Britain was initially settled by these, you know, Adamites.
Right.
But they also had these Pictish people like McBragg, Steve Elder, you know, Commandor McBragg, Son of the Mist. Essentially what they were called is they were called the Riverbed People. And what they were is that they were these they were these Kenites who knew how to go ahead and make pots and pans and work iron. And he'd go ahead and dig around in the riverbed, you know, for the Riverbed People, because they were looking for the gold, the placer gold which came in. And you had some of them, like these Amorites, which became the Cornwalls, you know. You know, the word stone means, in many cases, like Oliver Stone is a Jew. Well, what happens, Stone is also a Cornwall name. And essentially, you had Sargon the Great, you know, the Magnificent, who was also, we call Cain.
He
went ahead, and essentially, he needed tin as a strategic mineral, so he went ahead and brought these people there. So anyway, McBragg, in many cases, he's a sort of Jew here. And I knew he was a Jew. You know, he went ahead and said he was a proud Pict. Well, after I went ahead and told everybody what dual seed line Chris Sandini says that a Pict is, i.e., it's a Kenite here. I call him a Tubal Kenite Pictish, you know, Jew boy. And then he went ahead and admitted he had Crohn's. So essentially, essentially he's a Jew here. And you have some of these beautiful looking Jewesses, and every two or three generations, you know, a Jewess won't look like, you know, won't look like Sarah Bernhardt, you know, essentially they'll look a little bit cute. And essentially their idea is to go ahead and get in Aryan input so they can go ahead and stabilize their bloodline. You got to understand is that Lilith, from what I gather, was Satan's daughter. And she was Adam's first wife. And essentially, according to legend, she didn't like the fact that Adam wanted to be on top here when they had sex. And essentially, she rebelled. And then she went ahead and, you know, had sex with wiggers and demons, and she was spawning an imp every so often. And, well, anyway, it goes on and on and on. Essentially, she was an evil bitch here. And Adam, one of Adam's sexual sins was essentially having sex with this demoness Lilith. Okay? So, essentially you have all these demonesses or these Jewesses, you know, be it Lilith or be it, you know, Naama, be it Semiramis, and essentially you have all these, you know, you have all these things which happened, you know, before the flood that essentially that people, you know, don't really know about. I was going ahead and looking at Eustace Mullins' book, and essentially he had it, you know, I mean, oh, you know, Herman Hale, the Worldwide Church of God, believed that Shem killed Nimrod. And essentially, Eustace Mullins had that, you know, correct here. You know, Nimrod was actually, you know, three creatures had sex aboard the ark. You know, what happens is that, you know, Ham was a total wigger like Esau. He went ahead and he had a white wife not exactly the children of the Egyptians, but essentially the ruling class among the Egyptians.
Okay.
And he had a white wife, and he had this Canaanite bitch wife named Naama. And she was the mother of Canaan. And Eli James, he'll go ahead and he will try to hide among, you know, shield himself under Bertrand Comparet, and they'll come up with this crap where, well, Ham must have gone ahead and had sex with his mother. Well, look, Eli James, you stupid Jew boy. Don't you seem to realize that dual seed line Chris Sandetti holds that Jews are spawn of Satan? So what happens is if Ham had sex with his own mother, where does the Cain bloodline come in at? And the answer is it doesn't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, essentially, you've got to go ahead and have, in order to go ahead and have through the Canaanites, that they were cursed because they were the sons or the children of Cain, and therefore the children of Satan, you've got to go ahead and say, well, okay, so who was the mother? You know, because Ham wasn't a Jew boy. Ham came from Noah, a man of perfect generation.
Right.
I mean, you know, I used to go ahead and ask myself, well, you know, Herbie Armstrong Church, well, Where did, you know, I mean, if you had a worldwide flood, how come we still have Jews and niggers and gooks and the rest of these? Where did they come from? And since the worldwide church God holds as well, you know, Mother Eve, it was sort of plastic, and what happens is that she had little yellow babies, and she had little nigger babies, and she had little, you know, other colored babies.
Right.
So then I said, well, what's the big deal about Noah being a perfect generation, i.e. white? Essentially, the Worldwide Church of God and the British Israelites went ahead and hailed that Japheth married a yellow woman, that Shem married a white woman, and Ham married a nigger. And essentially, I said, well then what's the big deal about Noah being a perfect generation? I mean, Shem, if he's going to go ahead and let his kids on the ark be a sort of multiracial love boat, I mean, what the hell's the big deal about it then for? What's all the pissing and moaning? What's the pissing and moaning about breeding with demons and doing all this race mixing if essentially what you're going to do is you're going to have Noah and Noah's sons go ahead and go along with race mixing after the flood? And the answer is, well, no. The dual seed line version shows itself superior because it says that essentially Ham went ahead and married Naamah, you know, Tubal Cain's sister, and gave birth to a little Jew bastard Cain, or Canaan.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So Eli James, what happens is that he, you know, he should know that shit, and I think he does, but he wants to go ahead and prove that there are some good Jews, and Fink is right and chewing on his ass about that. And essentially, you know, I mean, you know, what happens is Fink and Emmaheiser absolutely dislike Bertrand Comparé. So essentially,
yeah,
they come up with this crap, and I was hearing it last night. Well, he's new. Yahweh didn't make the niggers. Okay, well then, you know, think, who made the niggers then?
Yeah.
Well, who made them then? What did you believe that they went ahead and just, you know, they just sprung out of the, you know, they went ahead and sprang out of Africa here? They evolved or what? You know, I mean, where did he come up with this stupid shit, think? You know, where do you come up with this stupid shit, Emmaheiser? Essentially, you go ahead and look at it. They can't explain where the nigger or the goop came from according to their notion. Well, I mean, standard dual seed line Christian day holds that they're the non, you know, they're just simply the beasts of the field, and that Yahweh did indeed make them. Although there is some, you know, in the case of Wesley Swift, you know, he sort of said that some of these East African niggers were imported on spaceships here. The East African niggers said they came from the planet Dogon, which is a dog star here, and that's where you come up with Dagon and all the rest of that stuff here. But essentially, you know, Christian identity, orthodoxy, well, okay, Wesley Swift may have had a point, but, you know, hey, most of the niggers, most of the gooks, most of the red, you know, Indians were, you know, made on the sixth day by Yahweh. Essentially, they're just the beasts of the field. And essentially, none of them were proven satisfactory, so Adam went ahead and made Eve out of his own rib, okay? And what happens is both Eli James and both Fink and Emmaheiser, they want to go ahead and play around with the established orthodox of, you know, dual seed line Christian identity. But my point is that, shoot, I mean, dual seed line Christian identity holds these particular things that there was race mixing going on, and that's why Yahweh went ahead and flooded out the Tarim Basin, you know, under Noah.
Right.
And when Noah was born, you didn't have as much race mixing, but by the time he reaches 480th year, here he is essentially being told to build an ark. And it's not an ark for the entire world. It's just for this, what, 600 by 300 some, you know, big old basin north of the Himalayas now. And that's what it was for here. It's just for the local things here. I mean, maybe Noah was far more successful than what he thought. And maybe if you end up having people say, well, you're right, Noah, we shouldn't go ahead and breed in with these gooks, and we shouldn't breed in with these demons. Maybe Noah simply said, well, hey, since you feel that way, maybe it's time for you to have a freaking Northwest Imperative. And what happens is find your way around Cain's empire. Find your way around Cain, you know, the Achaeans. What happens is that you need to head toward Europe, like the rest of the obedient, you know, Adamites did.
Right.
Maybe Noah said, you know, maybe when Noah preached here, because you don't hear, you know, you hear that he was sent to preach for 120 years here. So essentially, you go ahead and you find out that on his 600th birthday or so, maybe his 600 and a half birthday, essentially the flood came about a couple months after his 600th birthday. Well, for 120 years, Noah had been preaching and building. right? So he was 480 years. He was 480 years before, you know, he was told to go ahead and do this stuff here. I mean, if Noah, since Noah lived 950 years, 600 years before the flood, 350 years after, what happens is that that's the same as nowadays a man living, a righteous man living to be 95, right? So for every 10 years that Noah lived, you've just lived one, okay?
Okay.
All right? So you can understand that, you know, hey, when Noah was the equivalent of 48, essentially things have gotten so crappy. Now, let's say he was born in, say, 19. Let's say he was born in 1957 like I was. Okay?
Yeah.
So when he's, you know, when he reaches the age of 48, here I am. Essentially, you have all this miscegenation going on. Essentially, Yahweh is going to go ahead and flood these Adamites out here. And essentially, here I am, talking just like Noah's day, going ahead, trying to tell a few of the white people, a few of the Israelites, don't miscegenate. Go ahead, and instead of going ahead and, you know, getting aboard, you know, moving to Granby and getting aboard my boat, what I want you to do is I want you to go ahead and move to, what, Washington or Oregon or Idaho or... I think North, yeah, I don't know if Northwest still here. Anyway, you know, when I'm 48, for the next 12 years until I'm 60, you know, what happens is that, you know, essentially I go ahead and I'm trying to tell people not to go ahead and, you know, move to Granby and get on my, you know, personal rowboat, but rather for them to go ahead and move to say, well, not Europe, but, you know, move to Washington, Oregon, you know, Idaho, and Montana. I mean, wouldn't that have done the same to go ahead and prevent race mixing by what whites remained? And then by the time, you know, the year 600 came about, or, you know, equivalent of my 60, what happens is that, shoot, there's a flood here. And for, oh, a couple months, it rained, it flooded out Granby in southwest Missouri. Or wherever, and essentially went ahead and flooded out Zog here. And the only thing that remained was, well, only white people in Washington, Oregon, and Idaho, other than me, you know, and essentially my grandkids who are living in this big houseboat here. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So, I mean, folks, you had, way back then, you had the same thing. You had race mixing, you had all this sort of thing going on. And, well, folks, the only solution to it was to go ahead and make sure that this Zog Babylon, the very first, was destroyed. And when Nimrod came out, it was just, what, around 100 years after, essentially it wasn't time to go ahead and flood the world because Yahweh promised no more water, you know, no more waterworks, no more waterworks. The next time I go ahead and purify the world, it's going to be by fire. And that's what's coming on. Is this Great Tribulation.
Yeah.
Okay? So what you have is that you have, I mean, in many cases, actually, Eli James and Brian Reel and William Fink essentially do me a favor by going ahead and sopping up these wandering, you know, wandering mamsers.
Yeah.
These wandering idiots, these wandering retards, these wandering wannabes, these wandering Zogbots. I mean, I can't understand. You are on Morris Gillette's, you know, you are on Morris Gillette's show listening to the South African Project last night, right?
What?
Were you on Morris Gillette's South African Project, or you are one on these shows where old Anglem Cecil Truett was on? You know.
Maybe I was on there. I guess I have been on there at least once, but not last night.
Okay. Well, this was Saturday night here, right? Or it might have been Friday night. I don't know.
I was in there. I forgot.
Okay, you're on one of these shows here. Essentially, what Gillette wants to do is he wants to go ahead and get all these retards to get in their fine, you know, nice little uniform, and essentially go ahead and bitch in the state capitals for them to do something about the niggers of South Africa going ahead and killing these stupid Dutch farmers who, when they had voted, essentially let the niggers come to power.
Right, they are starting the South Africa Project.
Fine. Can you tell me how in any way, in what known universe this would possibly succeed?
Oh, yeah, they were asking for a donation. Now, what did you just say about...
Don't give them a donation. Morse Gallant has $500,000. You know, maybe, you know, what happens, they're letting them have, you know, Morse Gallant don't need your money. He has $500,000 from Harold Groom's estate.
Yeah.
Yeah. What happened 5 years, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, it was only $400,000, but I guess it's done pretty good because now I heard, last I heard it was $500,000. Why does Morse Gallant need your money? The answer is he don't need your money. He wants you to go ahead and send him $25 as a membership and $10 a month, so essentially Zog will know you're a stupid retard who wants to run around in uniform, essentially running to state capitals and tell everybody how you are, you know, big old Nazi and how you, you know, how you want essentially the niggers of South Africa to start killing stupid white people when they had voted to die 20 years ago. I mean, how the hell, in what world is that going to work out?
Well, I think it's a good idea.
How is it a good idea? Let's say old Anglo Mestizo Truett goes over to Jeff City here. It's about 240 miles, but it's only about 80 miles from where he lives in St. Charles. Let's say he drives down the road. He gets a few retards here to run around in Anglo, in Aryan Nations uniform over at Jeff City. He goes ahead. He gets in the state capitol building here. He goes ahead, pretends to be a big old Nazi here. Now, do you think Jay Nixon, Democrat, is going to go ahead and listen to his horse shit?
Nixon, no.
No. Do you think anybody, you know, I mean, shoot, the Republican Party won't allow me to run as a racist, as a Republican, or a Democrat, or as a libertarian. Do you think they're going, you know, do you think that anybody in the General Assembly is going to go ahead and, you know, buy Anglo Mestizo Truett's horse shit?
No.
No. So, but let's say old Anglo Mestizo Truett convinces Jay Nixon and convinces the Missouri General Assembly to go ahead and vote in a big resolution that niggers of South Africa shouldn't be killing, you know, Dutch farmers. Do you think that the niggers of South Africa is going to pay a damn bit attention to it?
No.
No. So what the hell does the South, you know, what possibility of accomplishing anything does the South African project have?
Well, there's things that could be done.
Like what?
Like we could, well, because we could pass a resolution that we should send American Negroes that are presently in jail to South Africa.
Yeah, I could just go ahead and see that happening anytime soon. But hell, that's not even what Anglo Mestizo Truett wants here. You know what I mean?
I know, I'm improving his thoughts.
Well, I mean, you got one hell of a long ways to go here. It's still not going to work.
Fine.
Look,
Farrakhan, we will let all of your Negroes, criminals, out of our American jails if you promise not to come back into this country, not to let them back in this country, and we'll give you...
Yeah. Well, hey, I mean, it may have worked for some Jews here, but from what I gather, a lot of them are deciding not to go to Israel. They want to go to New York instead here. That's their new promised land here.
I know that.
Oh, I mean, come on, Mona. Yeah, I mean, you're really stretching it right now, okay?
Okay, let's try to figure out a new idea.
Okay, well, I have a better idea. Don't send any money to Morse Gallant. You got $500,000 from the Harold Groom's Trust Fund. Don't send any money to Anglo Mestizo Truett. I mean, essentially, all he's going to do is have his tards go ahead and join a rally to get a genuine SS ring, and then what he's going to do is he's going to threaten the little tard who wins the raffle to giving him the SS ring.
Right.
I mean, ain't that just a wonderful thing to do with a raffle? You go ahead, you win the raffle, and then the big old Anglo Mestizo goes in and threatens to beat your ass or sodomize you unless you hand it over even though you won the fucking raffle. Ain't that a wonderful thing to do?
Well, that's not a good idea. But here's
okay.
A good idea. We go get American Negroes out of jail and send them to South Africa on a peacekeeping tour and give them money to build condos, and we give them the license to kill South African Negroes at will and let them kill off the bad
guys. Amona, in what world other than your own is that going to work?
I like it.
Okay, well, hey. Well, why don't you, Mona, if you have extra $25, go ahead and send it to Morse Gallant here, okay? You know what I mean?
But what is his idea anyway? I think we're supposed to go around and speak.
Yeah, we're supposed to go ahead and run around in Aryan Nation's uniform and let the cops know who we are. That's a wonderful idea.
Oh, my God. Is that really what you think?
Well, that's exactly what the hell... I mean, you know, when Morris Gillette was in charge, essentially his wonderful idea was to go ahead and get drunk and rob banks in Alabama for Bolivian nose candy. That was his wonderful, you know, that was his wonderful plan. See, he claims to be Aryan Nations, but you don't want to talk about how he got kicked out of the Aryan Nations by Ray Redfern several times here, and essentially Butler insisted that, you know, he get kicked out because essentially he was an ass clown. You know what I mean? It was just, I mean, most of that was just nothing more than a drunken cokehead. You know what I mean? He got kicked out of Aryan Nations.
Right.
What happens, though, is that shit, he was, you know, I mean, Ray Redfern, for all practical purposes, most people who are in the know, they don't like talking about this. And just like I didn't use, when Gillette was in prison, I mean, me and Pastor John Britton saved his church. I went ahead and saved his trust fund. And the whole idea was when he got out of jail, what he was supposed to do was have a nice, quiet, Christian identity church. None of this running around in uniform and acting like an ass clown and bringing in every nigger and every manzer pretending to be Christian identity. And that's why, you know, me and Pastor John Britton saved him his church. Even though he went in and betrayed me and kicked me out of his church here because I advocated, well, some rather dire measures here. You know what I mean? And what happens is that shit, he's going ahead and betrayed both me and Pastor John Britton. And essentially, I shouldn't have saved his church. I shouldn't have saved his damn trust fund. And I'm sort of regretful for doing that now. But when he got out, I want him to have a small, quiet church preaching Christian identity, not running around, bringing in every nigger, every damn manzer, and running around in uniform and acting like an, you know, acting like an agent provocateur to get every person, you know, who went ahead who wants to pretend to, you know, run around in uniform, who's 20 or 21 and doesn't have a brain in his head and getting them in trouble. You know what I mean? That isn't what I, that's exactly what I wanted. If I'd known that Gillette would have been doing this stupid shit, I wouldn't have gone ahead and asked John Britton to take over as senior pastor while he was in jail. But hey, the only thing that old Morris Gillette managed to do when he was, you know, in charge was go ahead and get drunk and on videotape plotting to rob banks in Alabama.
Oh my God.
That's what he got in trouble for. And he went ahead and took another mamzer, he took a mamzer with him here, named Scott Charles Thornton here, and I think he's a goddamn snitch too.
Yeah.
So folks, I mean, shoot, all these people have done is go ahead and essentially just cause trouble, you know, just cause trouble for no damn good reason here. And essentially that's what, you know, I mean, Gillette is just a sanctimonious crackhead. And now the worthless cocksucker is claiming that I'm a child molester for no damn other good reason than because, you know, he's mad because I'm chewing on his ass for being an idiot.
Right.
So Ray Redfern died at the age of 53, and there's a lot of people who believe that the reason that he died at the age of 53 is that he got, you know, it was because of a cocaine overdose. You go ahead, you take a lot of that cocaine, you take an overdose of, you know, fairly good powdered cocaine here, you will end up having a heart attack.
That's right.
Yeah, and that's what, you know, that's why I believe Ray Redfern died of.
That's what I was trying to tell you about Edgar Steele. He was talking about LSD 6 days before he had his aneurysm.
Well,
I'm sure there's a connection.
I don't know. I've never heard of LSD causing an aneurysm. I don't know. I mean...
Oh, yes, LSD can do terrible things. You don't hear about it because it's not...
Well, I mean, shoot, I don't believe Edgar Steele's guilty. And, you know, essentially, Edgar Steele wasn't running around telling people to send him $25, you know, to go ahead and do a harebrained stupid scheme here. I mean...
Okay.
Edgar Steele's not really a revolutionary hard-ass. He's just one of these patriot idiots here who essentially wanted to play revolutionary badass, you know,
right.
But go ahead and have it, you know, organized, you know, under legal principles here, and, you know, I mean...
Legal about LSD.
Well, there's nothing legal about overthrowing the government either, okay?
True, too.
Okay. Anyway, Mona, oh, heck, it's been a while here. I think I'll go ahead, and I think I have enough for a show.
Okay, when do I get to hear it? Will it be on posted on...
Well, I haven't, you know, I'm running behind is what I'm posting here.
You to work. I'm not telling you to work. I'm just asking you, where do you post your audios?
Where I post my audios, I post them on White, I post them, the archive page is, whitenational.org/useful/audio/TMT.
Okay, that's all I'm asking. Okay.
Well, you can go ahead and look at it on whitenational.org/forum.
Okay.
Okay?
You got audios posted there?
Well, I got a lot of them. I'm four behind right now.
Well, I'm just asking where your audios are. You just told me they're on White Nationalist Forum.
WhiteNationalist.org/forum. You can go ahead and find the, you can go ahead, go to the, go to the Movement Turd and go ahead and look there here, okay?
Okay, excellent. Thank you.
All right. WhiteNationalist.org/forum. All right?
Yes, I do.
Okay. All right, Mona, I think that's about it, and I'm just going to go ahead and call it a night here for the chat, okay?
Yeah, and we'll talk about it later, okay?
Fine. All right,
thanks.
Bye-bye. Hell victory. And by the way, you're welcome to be on the Liars and Finkel Sheenies. I'm just simply telling you that they're both Jew frauds. Essentially, if you want to go ahead and hear a nicer message, Eli James is far better. He's still a Jew, but essentially Eli James is a lot nicer person than Fink ever will be. You know what I mean?
I think much better than James. I think Fink is 10 times the orator that James is.
Huh.
He's riveting. James, I sleep through James. Fink is a lot.
Well, I don't sleep through James because essentially I'm trolling the fuck out of Eli James. Fink is just a lying Jew asshole as far as I'm concerned here.
I think he's more interesting than James.
Okay. Well, whatever, Mona. I mean, you go there for entertainment value. I go there to cause trouble. So anyway, I'll talk to you later. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
All right. Hail victory. Good night, Mona.
Bye.
Alrighty. Well, we've gone ahead and had quite a talk here, and essentially some of these shows will be rather long, but they'll be more in conjunction with the original Movement Third. Folks, remember, I used to talk for, 12 seconds less 6 hours one time, and that was on number 46, which was the longest one ever. This will probably end up being 4 hours. And folks, maybe you got tired of hearing Mona Montgomery, but folks, I got to admit is that I really didn't have anything prepare for tonight. And there wasn't anything to prepare for tonight because essentially the bowel movement, there's nothing going on this week, at least not so far in the bowel movement. You have just the same, Uyghurs being Uyghurs, Mamzers being Mamzers, Jews being Jews. And essentially going ahead and saying, excuse me, during this week in the bowel movement, and I was looking over on VNNF and Sperm Front and White News Now, and folks, there's nothing going on. It's just the same old stupid shit. There's nobody being put in jail. There's nobody being set up other than the same old tards here. Nothing's going on. And that's the way the bowel movement is that most of the time it's the same old stupid shit by the same old stupid people, and very often, very seldom is there anything much of any worth going on at all. So, folks, I'm going to go ahead and call it a night. I'm going to go ahead and say hail victory. It looks like everybody went to bed now that it's the equivalent of what? It's the equivalent of 11:30, California time or Washington State time or Oregon time or Pacific time. And since I'm going to go ahead and call it a night, say hail victory. May Yahweh bless. Good night. White men clad in black are we, hi-yi-oh-ho, and we'll stamp out the tyranny, hi-yi-oh-ho.
Why they don't revolt home on the city roof, let the red cock crow. Why they go civil war home on the courthouse lawn, let red blood flow. When Adam delved and Eve defend, Kyrie, all who was then the ruling man, Kyrie. Why they go revolt home on the city roof, let the red cock crow. Why they go civil war home on the courthouse lawn, let red blood flow. For white men their rifles shoot, the Jews are laid low. On sogling necks leave some bar food to stamp out castle. White men go revolt home on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go civil war home on the courthouse lawn, let red blood flow. The regime must only love its greed. Hi-yi-yo-ho. The love of God our only need. Hi-yi-yo-ho. White men go revolt home on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go civil war home on the courthouse lawn, let red blood flow. We'll conquer for our cause is right. Hi-yi-yo-ho. Our sons won't have to go and fight. Hi-yi-yo-ho. White men go revolt home on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go civil war home on the courthouse lawn, let red blood flow.